This week's episode of Two Indian Dudes will not be seen and will return next week. Stay tuned as WSWN brings you the following live presentation of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
The Shining Wizards Podcast is intended for entertainment purposes only. Opinions expressed by the host and guest are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the podcast or its affiliates. Content may include adult language or themes and is not suitable for all audiences. Viewer and listener discretion is advised.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live in high-definition video and available on all podcasting and streaming platforms. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Check out our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Do your Amazon shopping at amazon.shiningwizards.com. And become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. And now, it's time for the Shining Wizards.
What? And it is episode 785 of Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. We got AEW Revolution Fallout. We got more shenanigans at Juggalo Championship Wrestling. Is it even WrestleMania season? Because it doesn't feel like it to me. And did Tony Khan fumble Danhausen? We got to talk about all this and much more. But of course, it's time for me to forget how to do the intro. Wrestling talk!
And talk about wrestling?
God, I fucking hate myself today. Double T.
Tony.
I hate you too. Handsome Kevin.
Hey, Handsome Kevin's back. Brundo, he has it right. He writes it down. He just can't get it out of his mouth.
All right. All right.
That's a friend.
You should have started with all right. It would have set you on the right course.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, no Brundo tonight. He's in Horseman Country. Right,
sure.
We just got the tech 10 hours, six states, and he's finally arrived at his destination. Maybe he'll show up in the comments. HK is back. He's alive. Woohoo! Oh, yeah. Brundo Stone Cold intro. Good call, Al. It is 316 day.
Yeah, happy 316, fellas. How was today any different for you guys than any other day?
I don't know, dude. If I could have stunnered somebody today, I 100% would have. The fucking cleaning lady almost got it.
Oh, yeah?
Does she speak English?
No.
Well,
did she get stuck under the sink?
The fucking cleaning truck like
that. Dios mio, señor. Señor, la chupacabra, por favor.
She drove the fucking cleaning van like fucking Austin drives the fucking Zamboni machine into the ring. It was almost off my fucking wall, my house. Nonsense today.
Yeah, did you give it the old what for?
No, but she definitely, now I don't know if she understood, but she definitely heard me go, what am I, surrounded by fucking retards today?
That's not very Christian of you.
Who said I was Christian? I don't know. HK, welcome back, buddy. Hey, hold up.
Hey, I'm happy to be here, man. I'm happy to be here. That was as sick as I can ever remember being. Like, I'd say this. I would happily take COVID over the bullshit that I've been dealing with. So, but I'm on the mend, and I'm excited to be here, man. I'm happy to be here. Happy to be back.
All right, Tony, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing okay. You know, why you messed up the intro? You got lost.
Why?
You didn't let everybody know that two Indian dudes was being preempted for us tonight.
It's one of your favorite shows, too.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
No, it's, you know, I haven't done an intro in so long.
He doesn't listen to much on the network, HK, but Two Indian Dudes is one of the ones he never misses.
And they never miss him.
Well, that's right. I love being the lucky Pierre with the two Indian dudes.
Did you send him their gift cards yet or no?
Yes.
No, just bags of rock salt. Jeez.
I got a hookup at the Thai elephant truck. Don't worry.
Wait, they Indians don't eat Thai food?
Oh, fucking no, dude.
I mean, maybe they do, but if you're going for ethnic foods to match up their nationality, or no.
So would it just be Indian food?
Yeah.
The fucking elephant on the side of the truck, isn't it a sacred animal to them? Who gives a shit?
Well, the cow.
Yeah, the cow's sacred. The elephant's Thailand.
And shit. I don't get out of the house. What the fuck?
I'm not very cultured. I don't know what to tell you.
Apparently not.
But that's nothing new. It's not a surprise.
No.
Right? If you're tuned into the show, you're watching us live or listening or watching back the replay, you would know that. I'm lucky I can get this shit to work. Ah, Tony.
Yes.
Just back me up on this. We did a little research last week. Me, you, Brendan, full show. Not once did my screen freeze.
Not true. I was watching it, and it sure as shit did.
Oh.
Yep.
Well, in fairness, it's not freezing today.
Yeah, not so far.
No, I checked. I checked the interwebs because I tried to listen to a tune in the shower, and the Alexa was like, "We are not connected to the internet." And I'm like, "This is not the time for this."
What tune did you want Alexa to play for you in the
show? Don't you sass me, Alexa. Don't you sass me.
Wanted to listen to some Emergence by Sleep Token.
So you could like vigorously wash your dick like in like.
I like singing in the shower.
Can you sing a little for us? I don't know this song.
No, I'm not doing it.
Come on, dude. I opened a show at Rehab. You could sing a little bit. Come on.
You went to a karaoke bar. I'm not fucking singing.
Why? There's a microphone in front of you, and I'm sure you have a beverage there somewhere.
Yeah, a little acapella.
I have my C4. I don't have any alcoholic beverages because I will not stop tonight. Well, it's been like that kind of
Limoncello Tony's drinking alone.
Hey, Limoncello Tony. Part of the Shining Wizards greatest guests of 2025 tournament.
I already know who I'm voting for in a few of them.
There was a write-in vote for you on Twitter.
No shit.
Yeah, I think I Dunk Biscuit said it's either the Macho Man of Tobin or Limoncello Tony.
Fuck yeah, dude. Biscuits is the man. Do we call him Mr. Biscuits? Do we call him Dunker? I Dunk? Yeah, I don't know. The Dunker.
Would it be
like I'm the Dunker. He's the Dunker.
Dunk Biscuits. Like I is his first name and Dunk is his middle name.
Maybe I's his pronoun, or maybe maybe he works for Apple. His name is I Dunk. Like they put
like IP Freely.
Yes. But he's the second IP Freely too. What the fuck are we doing?
I don't know. I'm trying to get to the
planning on a 9:30 close tonight.
You want me to sing? You want me to dance? You want me to sing and drive? Yeah, I'm not talking about the Mooner and the Juner and the Springer.
All right, let's get on with the show then. What are we doing?
You don't know about the?
I don't know. Moon and Juner.
What was he? An owl?
I just remember from South Park when Cartman was under the spell of the aliens. Yeah. He said,
"I think it was a little owl." I love to sing about the Mooner and the Juner and the Springer. I love to sing about
a time song.
I love to sing.
See, Matt sang. You see, there we go.
Nothing on that.
There we go. But We're doing March Madness this year.
And yay!
HK and Brundo decided we should do all of last year's guests, and then we had to fill out the field. We added our segment people from last year. So Juicy, Kate the Great, and Kyle from Aper Bump are all in the field. So it's 32 person field. I'm going to show every single one of these graphics because this is what I did all day. All right.
I'm going to bring some things down here for you, Double T.
I appreciate you there, HK. So here's what's going to happen. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday on Twitter only.
So starting tomorrow, if you're listening live.
Yes, I'm sorry. That's a
great No, point. It's okay. I just want to make sure. So if you listen to this on Tuesday, it starts today. If you listen on Wednesday, you fucking missed the first day, asshole.
But you're good because you have 2 days to vote on each match.
Oh, so maybe you're not an asshole.
You could
listen.
You're not listening as soon as this comes out or live. You're probably an asshole.
Yeah, you should be watching this live. What's the matter with you?
Put your fucking life on hold for us, please.
For us.
So, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 4 matches will be dropped. One will be dropped at 10 o'clock. One will be dropped at noon, 2 p.m., 4 p.m. Only on Twitter. I can't do a poll on fucking Facebook or Blue Sky or fucking Instagram. I'm not dealing with any of that. I looked. I tried. I'm not technology savvy. So this is what we get. You can only vote on Twitter. We're not doing write-ins. I'm not fucking tallying all this shit. All right. I'm not asking you guys to tally this up. Boom. Right on Twitter at Wizards Podcast. Starts Tuesday, 10 a.m. Your first matchup in the first round. The mighty Bathrika.
Mighty.
Take on Eric Stevens. Bathrika was on episode 752. Eric Stevens on 766. They are your first matchup on Tuesday. Tuesday at high noon. This gem. Bay Ragney takes on Vincent. Vincent was a guest on our anniversary show. Bay, multiple time guest, but 735 was the last episode he was on. And if you want to listen to these episodes, that's why we're telling you what episode. You go back, you can listen, maybe put a little thought into it. Next up on Tuesday, this is the 2 p.m. match. Dan Barry and Bull Buchanan. Dan Barry on episode 727 and drunk from Ireland on the anniversary show.
One of my favorite spots.
Yeah, no doubt. And then Bull Buchanan, who he was our last guest of 2025, so he just made the cut. And then our last match on Tuesday, Bo James against Gary J. There's a joke here. Tony's going to say, like, Matt looks like Bo James. Matt's brother looks like Jay. Don't worry, I did it for
you. You look like Bo James with Gary J's head. There's the joke.
So that matchup.
Fucking beat Nick Daniel fucking Bryan over here on fucking a third mic tonight.
Beat Nick fucking jokes. Bo James on episode 729, Gary J 750. Wednesday at 10 a.m. Juicy Steen. Oh, what happened there?
This is at noon. Isn't it? I don't know what you did. What'd you do? What are you talking about?
What? Juicy Steen, 10 a.m.
Well, then why'd you go? What happened?
Oh, because I saw the three of you guys. The two of you guys. The Juicy Steen.
Love it, Jello Double T.
With Tony Stetson. Noon on Wednesday, the Maniac, Glenn Osborne, takes on Gringo Loco. Set! Very nice, Tony. 2 p.m. on Wednesday. Big task for Kyle from the Apron Bump, author of
What the fuck you write?
Irresistible Force, the Gorilla Monsoon book.
Oh, against, that one. Gotcha.
Against he had a Apron stroke. Bump Kyle. Almost.
Not a good stroke either.
The ear of m'lady.
He said ear of? Is that what he said?
Who?
You?
I don't know what I said. Trying to get through this so we can move this along. Your last matchup Wednesday. I feel terribly sorry for Sam Stackhouse.
Mr. Happy.
He goes up against the Mighty Maccabee.
Mighty Maccabee's fucking running this whole thing.
I think Mighty Maccabee, he might be a Final Four contestant.
Absolutely.
Thursday. What did I do here? Oh, up here. Jesus Christ. Thursday at 10 a.m. Sexy Eddie. It's Gino Gotz.
we really need Gino Gotz back on in 2026. We really do. For the fucking 2 minutes he was on fire.
This might be like the 1 versus 16 matchup, if you're familiar with college basketball. Noon on Thursday, Macho Manitoban.
Oh, and Chris
Starr. Jesus!
Yeah, that's my pick right there.
Nobody takes the dump in front of me.
Thursday at 2 o'clock. This might actually be a real match that's happened in the deathmatch community. Tommy Trainwreck and Dr. Redacted. And then your last matchup on Thursday. This concerns me very much because Kate has a lot of simps. I mean, Shane Mercer was not a great guest. I will be the first to say it. His personality shines in the ring. Not so much in the interview, but Kate does have a lot of simps. And the Fightful people, she might get a lot of votes. In advance to the next round. Friday at 10 a.m., these guys just drew Jimmy Jacobs and Joel
Goodall. Oh, what?
I think I decided I would find some of the most unflattering pictures of people. For
it
this.
Seems like it, yeah.
No, that's fantastic.
When you schedule, so you can't schedule a poll on Twitter. Oh, and you can't do a poll with graphics. So
a picture of Goodhart's like, hey, am I on?
Is that Diana with glasses?
Can you see me? Did I make the show?
Am I in the show?
You got any comments?
Jesse joining us.
Noontime on Friday, MLJ takes on Ron Reese.
Reese.
Huh. Wonder who's going to win that one.
If anyone can appreciate the matchup, I'm sure MLJ likes the fact that he's going to go against the Yeti.
Wrestle, calm down. Take it easy.
2 o'clock on Friday.
This is still going?
We got two more left, dickhead.
Yeah, dickhead.
Kayla
feel bad for Kayla.
Against David Penzer. And then the last matchup to drop on Friday, Alec Price. Against Jimmy Corderas.
Some of these are very interesting. Others, not so much.
Yeah, there's a couple lopsided. And this was all randomized. There's no rhyme or reason as to why these matchups are taking place. Brundo put them in a randomizer. And this is what we got. So this starts Tuesday on Twitter. Each match can be voted on for 2 days. When we get to next week's show, we will have the Sweet 16 for you. And the results to see who got bounced and who stayed.
Do you have a odds on favorite double T? Do you got a pick?
I think the Macho Manitoban.
Yeah.
Is up there. And I think there might be some, the podcasters, Kate, Juicy and Apron Bump. They might be able to wrangle up some votes.
Yeah.
You know, just because Kate's got them hitters don't mean that Apron Bump Kyle won't show some brain. You know what I'm saying?
He should.
He will.
Even out the playing field. Yeah. I think the Manitoban would, too.
So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens. But I'm excited. I think this is a good idea. I think this will be some good fun. And I think when the winner is crowned, we have the winner on and treat it like a big deal and see how they react.
Of course.
We have to come up with a trophy then. Last trophy we made was for Louis Ramos, a lifetime Shining Wizards fan.
I feel like that should just be every trophy we make, just a barbed wire covered dildo.
He fucking walked out of my house with that thing like a badge of honor.
Yeah, he probably wore it around his neck like fucking Flavor Flav.
Yo, let me get some Four Locos.
Wore it out of his ass with like Flavor Cave.
Flavor Cave?
Brenda, write that down.
Got it.
Okay, terrific.
All right. We got that out of the way. So we're excited for that. You guys were all... Now, look, I don't know anybody who watched AEW Revolution outside of the people I was in the room with and you guys. We had a way to watch it. I'll leave it at that.
Gimmicks, brother.
And I was... I need somebody who actually watched the show to comment. Did they cut to the crowd that often on the pay-per-view stream?
Seemed like it.
Or was that like, cause the gimmick that we had, like they didn't, there was a couple times like a replay played and we didn't see the replay. Like, so I think we were getting like just one, the one raw shot. So I just don't understand why they were shooting the crowd so much.
I could ponder a guess.
But it was like Jersey Cow Jesse was at my house watching, and there was a spot in the Bandido Andrade match where something was happening and they just shot like someone in the crowd, and we came back and Bandido was clutching his leg and Jesse's like, "What just happened?" And I'm like, "I don't know."
Kind of makes sense.
Yep.
Somebody else got hurt on an AEW pay-per-view. Who knew?
I think they were selling Tony. All right, easy over there.
Alex. It's always great to have blood in your opening match. Way to set that fucking hardcore tone right away. And can we fuck, if you're booking a pre-show well for fucking three matches, can we have the three matches finished during the pre-show?
That would be nice.
Bro, as soon as I saw the fucking pre-show was going over, I'm like, bro, this thing is not ending before 1 o'clock. There's no fucking way. Nope.
On the East Coast. It ended at about 12:30, maybe.
Tropical says shooting the crowd, maybe it was more entertaining than what was in the ring.
Oh, stop.
I tell you what, that opening match with Big Boom and QT, I enjoyed the shit out of that. When fucking Shane Taylor fucking pie faced the Rizzler into the fucking guardrail, Wayne Brady fucking smacking a bitch.
Yeah, it was pretty entertaining, right?
It was fun stuff. That's old school AEW, like first year. Like, I miss that shit. Stupid Nakazawa fucking putting all the baby oil on himself and shit. Joey Janela taking his fucking boots off so fucking Moxley could throw him in the thumbtacks feet first. Like, yeah, that's what I miss about AEW.
Man, you're such a hard, like I know HK. I know I can, I think I know HK's wrestling preference, right? But you were like, you nitpick and then you're like, but I want to see a man squirt baby oil all over him.
No, because I missed that.
I don't want to shock you.
How dare you kick out of a finisher?
Like, but if AEW stood like that for 7 years, I'd watch it every fucking week.
It's so weird.
No, it's not. I watch JCW. What are you talking about?
Yes, but you're watching it. You've said it before. You watch it. You watch JCW and like Vince Russo's not here and then he walks by in the back of the shot, but you're like, oh, JCW. But you can't say like,
I used to say that about AEW. Fucking Maki Ito singing and fucking Vicky Guerrero's laughing at ringside, not selling anything. That's the AEW I fucking miss.
So you like Crash TV?
No, if you're gonna do Crash TV, fucking do it. Go the full nine. Fuck trying to be serious. Oh, let's forearm each other for 20 minutes. Let's all kick out of our finishers for another 20. Like, it's the same shit every match.
That's what AEW is.
That's what AEW became. That's what AEW became. Give me football field fuckery. Give me fucking Matt Hardy morphing into fucking ice boxes and coolers and pools and shit. Give me Eddie Kingston fucking covering Moxley when fireworks are going off from ring post. Ah, look at that. True Prince of Pro. Big Boom AJ is the most entertaining thing in AEW, and I genuinely think AEW should put a title on him. There you go. Fix the tag division. You are absolutely right.
They don't have a tag division.
Well, start what building do you mean they don't
have a tag division.
You have to have a tag fucking match to have a tag division, and they don't have tag team matches.
There was a tag team match on the paper.
They didn't have tag team.
There was a bunch of them. The opening match was a tag match. What are you
doing? You have to have tag rules to have a tag match.
And well, you need fucking ref. You need real referees.
Yeah. So.
What fucking women's match was it? Was it the women's? Oh, it was Marina Shafir fucking doing her thing. When fucking. Aubrey fucking horse face is trying to break him up and fucking Marina gets in her face and she's like this. And the referee.
She's a little
fucking old. Man up.
Did you like when Toni Storm bit her tit though?
No.
Not real. No. Dude covered in baby oil. He's all for it.
Because it was part of a program where that always takes place. Like biting her tit. Yeah.
Really?
The foot bite I'm okay with. The tit bite, no.
Really? That's so weird. I thought you
although were... for JCW, didn't my Willie Mack get his little fucking chocolate thunder getting nibbled on?
Oh, fuck.
Did you not watch that, HK?
I did, but you're like so difficult to figure out.
I'm really not.
You are.
It makes complete sense if you've been playing along.
I thought it was a great pay-per-view. I enjoyed it.
No, you enjoyed it. That doesn't mean it was a great pay-per-view.
I enjoyed it more than I enjoyed the Royal Rumble.
I mean, I could sit there and fucking watch JCW with a room full of friends, and it'll be the greatest thing I've ever seen. It doesn't mean JCW was a great show.
Don't get me wrong. It was long. You could have done without the six-man tag title match. You probably could have done without the dogs against Orange and
how the fuck do the dogs lose that match? How?
I don't know. I don't know.
That's what's aggravating about AEW.
You're mad because you lost that match.
I think everybody did.
We all did. Yes.
Yeah. So
top of the heap with you for the show, Tony. 9-3.
I did 9-3.
Yeah, me and you did 9-3. HK 8-4. I want to say.
Yeah.
Brundo 7-5. Brundo took a bath.
So I extended my lead. Fuck yeah.
Yes. Yes. Me and HK are now tied.
How's the punishment coming along?
It's coming.
Good. Oh yeah,
coming. Honestly, we haven't really gotten much into it. HK got sick. I was busy working, but we'll get to it. Don't worry, it's coming. Figure it out.
Wait. Jesse's saying he finally got to see Orange win one. Dude, Orange Cassidy wins every fucking match every week.
Jesse doesn't watch weekly. He comes over and watches the pay per view.
Oh,
gotcha. Right. Jesse also was like, I don't like Toni Storm. And like,
is she getting a little frumpy dumpy? No,
no, it's not.
Yeah. A little bit.
Jesus Christ.
Nothing wrong with a big girl, but she's a little, I don't know.
But just like from a snapshot, if Jesse's only seeing like the pay-per-views, like he's not watching the TV, I can see how like the character.
Then Jesse should be asking, how the fuck is this Stu Nod winning? What the fuck?
But you picked her to win too.
No, I picked the dogs.
Oh, we're still talking. You're still talking about pockets.
Yes.
About Toni Storm.
No, I knew Marina Shafir wasn't going to win. Come on.
I thought I was talking crazy, but HK was also looking at you, Tony, like, all right, just making sure.
I'm with you, double T.
Here is something that really bothered me about this show.
Uh-oh.
In the first five matches, there were four returns as soon as the match was over. It was a bit much.
No, everybody's coming home. Everybody's going to AEW.
I don't know. You have so many matches on the card, and it's so long. Like, why couldn't you spread it out?
Because that's not what they do. This is for the sickos.
And I also don't give a shit. I would much rather have seen Shayna Baszler than fucking Ronda Rousey.
Neither one, but I see your point. I want Shayna Baszler to kill the Crystars of the fucking indie scene.
That's what she's doing, apparently, according to
good. Us. Good. And put some lipstick on her. I'm tired of seeing her pigmentless lips. What?
The fucking weird shit that bothers you.
I couldn't believe Ronda. I'm like, really, Ronda Rousey? Really? No reaction.
Same thing. No, nobody gives a shit.
I give a shit.
I don't. Do you? Are you excited for fucking Ronda Rousey?
I like Ronda Rousey. And stop. Ronda Rousey's name carries much more weight than Shayna Baszler's. Much more weight. And I think that if you're going to go, okay, even if there was the conversation of Rousey or Baszler, it's going to be Rousey. Rousey turns way more heads. She still turns heads. So yeah, I'm completely okay with Ronda Rousey, and I'm excited to see what they do with her. So this is one of the few times in a very long while that I'm legitimately excited to see what happens next in AEW, and it's because of Ronda Rousey. Now, admittedly, I am a fan of hers. But to see her, I didn't see it coming. I was excited she was there. And I'm excited to tune in on Wednesday to see what the fuck's going to happen with her. Yes, 100%. And I am not generally excited to tune in on Wednesday nights. Just not. So, yes, they got me with that one.
I'm glad they got somebody.
they got me. Hornets.
Yeah, I don't know, man. She does nothing for me. Like her and Marina against fucking Tony and Mina. I don't give a shit.
Well, no, I mean, I wasn't hoping that was the thing, but
that's of course that's the fucking thing.
Maybe it's not.
They went down to break her up, and then Marina sucker punched her, so they're going to run back Marina and fucking Tony Storm Wednesday night.
Yeah, and that was another thing. Would have been nice if they would have shown it on a fucking broadcast.
She's laying on the mat. You just be her laying. Yeah, she's knocked out, and Mina Shirakawa's going, are you okay? No, she's a fucking sucker punch, stupid.
Hey, that sounded like me, Double T.
Fucking Edge and Christian came back. They're going to do a fucking TLC. With fucking Edge and Christian and FTR and the Young Bucks, and they're gonna do it in either fucking the UK or in New York.
16 broken fucking ankles. I can't wait.
Will Ospreay's back. I love Will Ospreay. It was just like, I'm fucking exhausted already. We're 3 matches in an hour and 10 minutes. After every match, the lights go out. Somebody jumps the fucking guardrail. I was waiting for 30 guys in fucking black outfits to run in the ring like fucking Weeble wobbles all over the fucking place. Yeah. Kenny Omega's back. We got new women's tag champions.
Yeah. So I was pretty pissed off watching this battle royal. Can we agree that wasn't a battle royal?
It was a pile of dog shit, is what it was.
Was it? And it was. I'm super easy to satisfy when it comes to battle royals. I love battle royals. I am a battle royal fucking slut. What do you mean it's not a traditional battle royal?
I don't know. They all started like fucking outside the ring, in the ring, through the ropes, off the top ropes.
It was bullshit. The whole fucking thing sucked. It was you couldn't keep track of who was in, who was out. Everybody's waiting around out here. And then you three guys get inside the ring. You guys do your spots. And you guys over here, you wait, because we're going to jump back outside. I fucking hated that battle royal so much.
Well, not only that, but when Jungle fucking Jerkoff came out with his own fucking bus and the big entrance, it's like, yeah, he's fucking winning. Of course he's winning.
That's been the feud, though. Why not just have another one-on-one match with them? Why do we have to have all these fucking guys out there? The only people that made a fucking dent in the battle royal were fucking Jungle Jerkoff, Ricochet, and Tommaso Ciampa.
Bro, when Ciampa got fucking eliminated, the crowd was deflated, dude. They were behind him.
Look, Ricochet's a heel. I get it. He gets booed. Like, but this Jungle Jack fucking Ricochet thing's been going on forever, and then to have him win, it's like,
I will give them credit. Jungle Jack, at least he was hanging with Ricochet. Like, the shit looked good. Like, it was Ricochet's typical flip-flop, whatever, whatever. But Jungle Jack was fucking hanging in there with him. I was expecting him to fucking get gassed out. But no, man. I was impressed by that.
This is the stupid bullshit that people always say. Oh, you got to give it to him. It's in his hometown. And then everybody used to go there. He used to watch wrestling matches in his hometown. Got to give it to him. Got to give him the win at hometown. Yeah.
Vince had the right idea. Fucking job everybody out in their hometowns. Make their fucking kids cry. Fuck them.
Yeah, fuck them.
I also don't like that all of a sudden, like down the stretch, all these people are just miraculously reappearing. Like, where the fuck did they go? It was like Roman Reigns at the fucking Royal Rumble when he disappeared for 40 minutes. Like, what the fuck?
Hated it.
At least Moxley looks like he's in decent shape now.
I like Moxley, Takeshita.
Not good for you. What's that thing on Takeshita's nose, by the way?
I think it's just like a birthmark.
Yeah, he should get
or
that
mole? Taken care
of. Yeah, moly, moly, moly. every promo picture they show him, I'm like, dude, just fucking bite. Get Tony Storm to bite that shit off. Fucking do it.
I thought Swerve and Brody King was good.
Okay. One of us.
Anyone? Bueller?
I want to say it was Milwaukee Tom, or maybe it was Will. It was one of those guys. To listen to ROH Revelry last week. One of them said they would start a promotion around Brody King.
No.
What the fuck?
No.
What the fuck?
Wrong
answer. I mean, look, if you're a fan of Brody King, you like his work, I get it. But to base a promotion around the guy?
Nah. So the ending of that match was one that I actually was surprised I enjoyed. Because I didn't think, like, watching him take whatever the fuck Swerve's kick is called over and over and over and over again.
The house call? Then, is that what he calls it?
I don't remember.
Yeah, right.
But then, like, seeing Brody keep taking it and then firing up and then putting him down, I found a little bit of excitement to the finish of that match. So I was okay. I wasn't super stoked about the match in its entirety, but they finally got me at the finish. So and in a way that they usually, you know what I mean, in a way that usually doesn't appeal to me. So I was okay with it.
I thought Thekla, Chris, I like Thekla. I thought her and Chris had a fine match. A little shenanigans in the last fall I could have done without, but it's to be expected. Here, it's someone might get upset. I don't give a fuck about Mystica.
No shit.
I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit. I hate the AEW trios scene. The match was great. Right, all six guys are super fucking talented.
It was not great.
This is what we're doing with fucking Okada and Kyle Fletcher. Like, how this Okada Takeshita thing? This is on par with every group Chris Jericho has ever been in, where they just stretch it out. They just keep stretching it out, and it's like, all right, we're real fucking thin here, guys. Like, let's pull the trigger. Why are we not pulling the trigger? What are we doing here? You have all these fucking trio. You're just bringing in all these fucking teams. You bring in the Rascals. You bring in the Dogs. You got fucking the Hurt Business. Nobody's doing shit. You're just throwing fucking piecemeal together, and now you got all, you're in the Don Callis family, so you get a belt, and you get a belt. Fucking Kyle Fletcher looked like he was wearing a fucking girdle. He had all the belts up to his nipples.
Yeah, they got their Letterman jacket now, so that's nice. I hated that match. Hated that match. Talk about no fucking tags, and then more just like, dive, 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 dive. Now you dive. Now we're both going to dive. And now everybody's going to. And then you guys wait, because we're going to come and dive again. What the fuck, man? What the fuck? I hated everything about the match. And to your point, Double T, Fletcher, hell of a hand.
It's great.
Good talent, right? The other, what's his fucking name? You just said it. Okada. I don't mind Okada. I know his best shit's behind him, but I don't mind Okada. I don't give a shit about Mark Davis. I don't give a shit about Knight and Speedball and Mystic. Don't give a shit about any of them. But why do you take these two guys, right, that are actual talents, real life, true talents that can go, and then you put them in this fucking dive expose? Get the fuck out of here with it. Get the fuck out of here with it.
And I had Kate the Great was at the house last night for the pay-per-view, and I had to ask her because she's in the know. Didn't they fucking get rid of the title Okada is walking around with? I don't understand. Am I missing something?
Wait, what belt is he carrying?
I gotta click on
this. You don't even fucking know.
I don't know. I really don't, because I swear to God, I thought they got rid of it.
Probably the Owen.
No.
He's the international championship.
Yeah. So, he's the international champion. He's not the international championship. He had that and the continental belt, which was the unified belt, but then they had to split off the continental belt for the dumb fucking tournament. So he's still the international champion. Ipso facto, AEW sucko.
Can't argue. Can't argue it.
Okay. On fucking right, he beat Kenny Omega at All In Texas,
bitch.
Okay, in a winner takes all AEW Continental Championship match, also becoming the inaugural AEW Unified Champion. After Okada lost the Continental Championship at World's End, it ended the unification, rendering the Unified title inactive. So yes, just fucking throw them in the garbage and let Jim Duggan pick them out and walk around with them.
As I said, that's what Mark Annault says. Okada's titles are unified, then he lost the Continental gimmick, so it was split.
So who's the Unified champion right now?
Who fucking knows?
Nobody.
Well, that's dumb.
You know what else is dumb? Did you see Leo Rush? What the fuck is going on? What the fuck is going on with that guy? Somebody needs to stomp him. Stomp him just straight the fuck out, man.
He should go back to being Lashley's hype man.
Yikes. He needs to do something different altogether. It was like he shaved his entire, like, all the hair off of his face.
Yeah, and then he had the weird.
Yeah. Yeah, and he was crawling around like a cat with three legs. It was fucked up.
You loved it.
Hated it.
The shit of nightmares. I loved Andrade El Idolo and Bandito. I love the Andrade taking pictures with women. I think it's fucking hysterical.
Were they plants or were they like real people?
They were definitely plants. Yeah.
You can't
like the ones that, like the ones growing out the turlet.
First of all, wrestling fans don't look like that. Secondly, you can't let a hot wrestling fan near him. They probably fucking molester him.
Molester. No, that's the person that does the molesting.
That pedophile.
Thank you, Brenda.
There you go.
There you go.
Handjob Kyle says Leo needs to retire for the seventh time. I agree.
I forgot he was even still there.
No, he's got. Oh. He comes out with those fucking that weird like jacket. Like looks like a goddamn Mario character.
Too many fucking spoons in the porridge. Andrade Bandito, I thought was fantastic. When fucking when Bandito did the 21 plex where Andrade was like laying flat on the fucking mat and he fucking just picked him, fucking awesome. I love the fucking trios matches with the dogs. I wish the dogs won. That Clark Connor spear on Darby from the fucking ring to the off the apron was ridiculous.
No, Big Justice spear on fucking Shane Taylor was amazing in the open, the fucking pre-show.
Amazing. This is what that's it. Amazing.
When Shane Taylor shit canned the little Rizzler and fucking Justice fucking speared the shit out of him. Good.
The little Rizzler.
Dude, all he does is he walks up to people and does this shit with like rubbing his fucking Fu Manchu.
Kick that dumb kid right in his fucking face.
That kid's amazing. That kid's a star in AEW.
Probably like fucking 36 years old.
Who, the little kid?
Yeah, it's probably his fucking Pajiria.
He's like Andy Milonakis.
Yeah. Fucking kick him right in his dumb face. Fucking asshole.
You're calling a little kid a fucking asshole.
Yeah, he's a fucking asshole. And everybody that fucking supports him, you're that fucking small-minded. You do want to watch some dumb fat kid just touch his face?
He's the fucking Rizzler, dude.
Yeah, what does that mean? Yeah, you simple-minded pricks.
All right, I'm the fucking guzzler. Fucking, there.
The fucking cum guzzler.
He's the Rizzler. What does it mean? What is a Rizzler?
He's got Riz. He fucking spreads the Riz. He's the Rizzler.
Can I be the Jizzler?
Yeah.
Double T's the Guzzler.
I wish he had fucking SIDS. Then we wouldn't have a Rizzler. Jesus fucking asshole. Christ.
SIDS, what's wrong with you?
I think it's a little too late for that.
It's never too late. All right, now I gotta know.
Oh no.
I gotta know. Texas Deathmatch. How much did you guys hate this?
Okay. I hated everything about it.
Wait, there was a Texas Deathmatch?
It's the main event, dipshit.
Oh, I don't give a fuck. I didn't watch this shit. You think I stayed up this late to watch this shit?
It had everything in your Deathmatch group that you'd want, Tony.
Needles in the face?
Syringe through the mouth.
Again?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's Texas Deathmatch, Tony.
Wait, who took the syringe?
Hangman.
You know what?
Skewers.
You know what?
That's where I said, nope, I'm fucking done with this.
Whatever.
I just fast forward the shit because I'm not watching that bullshit. It's fucking stupidity. It's absolute stupidity. When you got guys that can actually wrestle and they can tell a story without all these extra bullshit, and they do that, and they go, oh, but it's Texas. Who gives a Texas Death?
Why did it need to be a Texas Death match anyway? Why?
That's what the stipulation Adam Page picked because.
Then who picked it as fucking his ability to challenge for a title? Like, who picked that?
He did. He wanted it to be a Texas death match, and if he didn't win, he wouldn't.
So he fucking stipulated that he would never get a title shot again.
Yes.
Well, but
according to TK, it's just a gentleman's agreement. So, you know, it's okay. He can probably challenge for it again.
I mean, what
the fuck does that mean?
It's like the WWE.
Yeah, it's just a gentleman's agreement.
I mean, you know, Drew beat Cody and Cody could never challenge again, but then Cody was in the Elimination Chamber and then he lost, but he still got a title shot the next week on SmackDown. But well, he was just never get a title shot because that was the agreement when Drew beat him.
Well, that was in the interest of fairness. That was a decision made by Nick Aldis.
All right, so you never know. The interest of the gentleman's agreement could come into play here.
But he lost. He didn't lose because somebody cheated to cause him to lose. That was the difference there. Fucking Claymore fucking cost him the fucking match.
Claymore won. He beat Cody. He won the title.
No, Claymore fucked Cody over in the Elimination Chamber. That's what happened.
Cody shouldn't have been there to begin with. He lost to Drew.
I'm just saying, there's a storyline difference. Hangman just fucking lost. Like Hangman fucking lost.
We gotta watch. We gotta tune in now on Wednesday.
Oh, do we?
I'll be there. I'll be there for Rhonda.
Oh, we also got light tubes.
Yeah, it was so fucking great.
Did this show take place in fucking near Brundo's house?
Yeah.
Was this at the Mecca? Like, what the fuck are we doing?
I was in between two quinceañeras.
Yeah, in California.
kind of makes sense. Checks out.
What else did we get? We got a barbed wire board.
Wait, they exploded a table? That's what Mark and Al's saying.
They fell into like the tech stuff.
The fucking ring of stupidity.
Yep.
It felt I was tired. Yeah, the audio. At the exploding table, Jay Bidness and Marking Out both in the same boat there. I was tired. This felt like all 46 minutes of this match.
46 fucking minutes.
Yep.
The end of the night. You needed 46 minutes for this.
There was a lot of,
did anybody come out and interfere?
No.
So this was straight up. These two fucking jackaloons. Doing all the stupidity for 46
minutes. There's
a lot of
like, oh, and there's dog collars. Don't forget the dog collar.
Why? It's a Texas Death Match, not a dog collar match.
Hangman Page brought it out, and then he put it on him, and MJF freaked out.
MJF just sat there and let him fucking put on the collar.
No, he was all beat up when it
happened. Of course he was, and then he woke up and he freaked out. Pin the fucking guy. If he's too stupid to realize he's getting a fucking collar put on him, you got him pinned.
No pin, Sony. Texas Death Match.
Oh, there's a 10 count.
Submission or a 10 count. They actually did put the rules on the screen before the match. I was like, oh, at least they put the rules up.
Who's the referee?
Bryce Remsburg.
Who the fuck is that?
He's the guy from Shikara.
And where's Justin Roberts been?
He was on the main event. He did the main event.
Oh, so he's like fucking Michael Buffer now.
Yeah, they hot tagged everybody. All Nigel was on for like the first four matches, then they tagged him out. They brought in Brian Danielson.
This is what happens when you have 6,000 people under contract.
I was gonna say, how much more payroll can we add?
We added Mystico. He's all elite.
Rhonda.
We didn't get the graphic, did we?
I don't know if we got the graphic yet.
Let me check on the socials.
Yeah. Better do some digging.
Wait, but so Mystico left CMLL now?
No, he's a dual contract. It's like dual citizenship. Yeah. Tony, I can tell you this, man. I don't know how much of the event you watched. Main event is not worth it.
No, yeah. I
fast forwarded a lot of that main event.
I watched the first three matches. I watched Tony Storm and the fucking problem. And I caught some of the tag title match.
You know, most of the tag title match is so I was watching it Sunday night and I was asleep. I fell asleep during the FTR Young Bucks match. That's how captivated I was. Fell asleep during that. Woke back up. I saw Rhonda show up. I was like, oh, it's pretty cool. I fell back asleep. Woke back up. Didn't give a shit. Watched the rest of it this morning, man. It was not. And this, like I say, this main event is not something that was very fun or intriguing or interesting. I will say I did not mind Thekla and Stat. I thought that was a pretty decent little match that they had. Bandito and Andrade. And I don't even like Andrade, but that was a decent little contest. Anything that they say tag in, throw it right out the fucking window. All right. Yeah, just fucking throw it out the window. It's not tag.
And then that main event, man, it's just, and actually when I saw MJF come down in those like Ode to Terry Funk trunks, yeah, I was like, okay, let's see what's going to happen now. And then when the skewers came out and that bullshit, I was like, all right, let's fucking not see what's going to happen anymore. And then we're getting fucking needles and all that. Like, nah, that's not for me. That's just not for me.
It was, it was a lot of like, beat him up, knock him down, go outside the ring, go under the ring, look for something under the ring. Like a lot of like, I even said something to Jesse. I was like, man, the pacing of this is just like, this is hard for me to watch right now.
Yeah.
Not like I could deal with like the skewers and all that shit. Like, but just the way the match was, like the pacing, MJF like doing the fucking goofy, like run around the ring. And then like Adam Page just stops and he like runs into him like Wile E. Coyote, like, I don't know. And the fucking, again, please, marking out, if you watched, was your feed with all just the random shots of the people in the crowd? It was horrendous. I don't understand.
It was pretty bad.
I don't understand. It didn't make any sense. There was no rhyme or reason for it. They were shooting people who weren't even reacting.
No, and there was a couple times, too, where they shot, there was one bird in the audience. I think it was more than once, but, like, the camera went on her, and she knew the camera, and then she put, like, her hands over her face and ducked down. Oh, don't show me. Oh, don't show me on the camera. Like, she skipped work or something to be there.
All right, there we go. All right, so marking out, he says, brother, I stopped watching AEW months ago. My life has never been better. I'm trying to get HK in that boat. Abram Bump says, those close-up audience shots were so awkward. All right. Yeah, it was weird, man. It was fucking super weird. They missed, like, they took a lot of weird, like, camera angles and weird shots of things. Like, yeah. It was almost like fucking evil Kevin Dunn was there fucking running the cameras.
Evil Kevin Dunn.
Yeah, it's him or Michael J. Fox, one of the two.
Muhammad.
Jay Bidness, Jersey Cow Jesse, the length and pacing of the main event may have been okay if there was, like, two less matches overall.
So do you think that there is a, like, a sweet spot for timing of a main event? Because I think that there is, and I think that there's certain circumstances you can go beyond that sweet spot depending on the story and depending on how the match is flowing. But for the most part, I don't think the sweet spot is going to be 46 fucking minutes.
No, I think your sweet spot for a main event could be, I mean, it could be anywhere from 16 to 23 minutes.
That's exactly what I was thinking, like 18 to 22.
If it's done right, like the homework was perfect.
Yeah. And that was far less.
Right. Bandito Andrade was 21. Moxley Takeshita was 23. Like, that's good. 46 was a lot. I'm like fucking fighting to stay awake. I'm like, when is this going to fucking end? And that's not good. And look, I know you're in the shows in California. The sickos are going to go as long as we can for them. We got to go. Because there it only ends at like fucking 11 o'clock, right? But man, a fucking Sunday night, like, get rid of the trios fucking match. Have fucking, I know Willow defending on the pre-show and then losing the tag titles, but like, I don't know. Couldn't you have done that on like Dynamite or something? The women's tag match, like, or taking like the fucking Battle Royal and just throwing it in the garbage? Like,
you could have thrown a lot of these matches in the garbage, but you're saying like, it's going to be late and all this kind of thing. I can show you right here what time I fell asleep yesterday. 7:13, right there. 7:13. Was not captivated whatsoever. Whatsoever.
Yeah, but you fall asleep.
Oh, every night. Not every night, but it did put me to sleep. I told Molly, I was like, you know, I'm kind of excited. I'm going to watch this. I'm going to check this out. But you know what I did like? Edge Christian. Yeah, there's no fucking way.
I also heard that. I didn't have to pay for it.
When they had, when Edge and Christian came back, sorry, Cope and Cage.
Yeah, no, I get it. We get it.
Whatever. We fucking did bullshit. But having him come in and use the fucking like mace spray or whatever the fucking that gimmick was instead of like a steel chair or anything like that, I thought that was like,
because that's always bothered me. Because like as soon as you hit somebody else with steel cheer, you're going to hear it. Your partner right. should hear it. The other guy should hear it. So to have him use that spray, I thought that was kind of a nice little creative little change of pace of what we're used to. And I didn't.
So
mind.
we're using mace now.
I don't know if it was exactly mace. They didn't say
hey, hairspray.
Yeah, but it was like you know it
who,
wasn't
wait
a, is, a
who,
fucking chair shot.
Who Cope or Cage is fucking doing their hair?
Cage.
He's got hair yet?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
They both do.
Yeah, sure. Of course.
Hey, you think MJF's getting hair plugs? His hairline looks awfully Jericho-ish.
Yes, 100%.
You think he's just weird. Like a bald Jewish guy from Long Island now?
I think it's weird that he's coloring his hair.
I definitely think he got, like, he did something. Like, his hair looks. His hair looks like fucking Roger from Doug. When he fucking combs it straight back.
gotta...
Now you can't unsee it.
Oh, else has mace for the Minnesota Sickos. And then I do want to see this, touch on this here. Where did I wrong fucking there it is.
Oh, that was a good one though too.
Is there a match you'd want to see go 46 minutes? We used to see 60 minute Broadways, current rosters anywhere I want to see go 46 minutes.
Yes, the Royal Rumble. That's it. That is it.
Yeah, it's hard. It's
not hard. It's easy. Don't book anything to go 46 minutes, especially when your pay-per-view is going overtime by the simple fact that your fucking pre-show ran overtime.
Yeah.
Totally. I can't believe we spent 40 fucking minutes talking about AEW today. This is a fucking miracle of God. I feel like I'm watching that MJF fucking match at this point. Can we get to some fucking pick totals and fucking show everybody how great I am?
Oh, easy. Fucking easy. He fucking goes to me last night. He goes, we pick an NXT? I go, the show was last weekend.
I don't fucking know. The group chat is like, anybody watch NXT? Don't watch that dog shit. Fuck that show.
I actually did watch NXT.
Shut up. No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. The PLE, yeah.
Great. I don't want to hear a goddamn thing about it.
Fine. I won't fucking say a word.
Is Miles Bourne the world champion?
Who?
Not that I know of.
Like Jason Bourne's brother? Who the fuck is Miles Bourne?
Miles Bourne is deaf Randy Orton.
I know Stackhouse is back, the Italian kid.
Tony D'Angelo?
No, who's Stacks?
Channing Stacks?
Yeah, whatever.
Stacks Lorenzen?
Oh, Joe Hendry is the...
Hendry's, as far as I know.
I thought I saw fucking Miles Bourne as the champion.
He doesn't have a title. April Bump says he's not champ.
He's not North American champion?
Oh, is that what that means?
I don't know. Oh, yes.
Not champ.
Nah, champ.
I don't know.
Sounds like when your dad tells you, like, no, we can't go get burgers tonight. Like, nah, champ. Not tonight.
Dad, give me a pack of baseball cards. Nah, champ. We got to go.
Can I get this WWF magazine, Dad?
Nah, champ.
Can't afford it this month. Sorry, kid.
Nah, champ. Your mother needs a weave.
Hey, TK, can I have a regular match to defend my title? Nah, champ, you got to stick needles in somebody's mouth for 46 minutes.
Tony, you will be happy to know that when he stuck the needle in his mouth, he also then squeezed the water that was in the syringe or whatever was in the syringe.
So
fucked. Mr. California, you're going to sue somebody.
Oh, that guy.
Nah, champ.
Trips and hits his head on a fucking 40-pound dumbbell.
His head is the 40-pound dumbbell. Hi-oh!
Hello.
All right, so give me pick totals. Come on, what are we doing?
All right, well, Tony's fucking in the lead.
Put on the graphic. You got the image, don't you?
Come on. I didn't actually update the image.
That's you made 16 fucking images for Kristara and fucking Bathrika? You didn't put my fucking lead on an image?
No, I'm a little busy today.
I updated everything else.
God damn it, HK got me.
Tony went 9-3. I went 9-3. HK went 8-4. Brundo went 7-5. Tony has a lead. Me and HK are 13-7. Brundo fell to 11-9. Brundo took like Bandito. Oh God, Brundo had like weird picks.
I think he was fucking delirious.
HK is the only one that took FTR. I know that.
Yeah.
But Brundo had like yeah, he had like a couple ones where I was like, really, Brundo Fly? Like, that's where you're going with this? He had we all lost the dogs. We all lost the Callis family. Bandito and Takeshita.
I took Mox.
Yeah, Mox won.
Yeah. Fucking A.
Fucking awesome.
Fucking awesome.
True Prince of Pro, that is a false statement. I don't actually care about the picks. I just love sticking it to these assholes who want to keep doing picks.
It's a long, Tony, it's a long, you could say whatever you want, but it's a long year, okay?
Yeah, yeah, I'll keep saying it.
Hey, and this is the longest I've ever held second position, so I'm happy about that already. See, I'm
16-4. I'm at 80 fucking percent. Holy shit. Cheers to me.
Only got three games on us.
Yeah.
All right, we're undecided if we're picking TNA.
NXT.
No, we're not doing NXT.
TNA.
They only do for what? No, okay. I mean, I don't know.
No TNA. Fuck that.
Yeah.
So we're just picking WWE.
Nah, champ. We ain't watching that shit.
We're just picking WWE and AEW.
Yes.
All right. Fantastic.
But I want to say this. If JCW does a pay-per-view, can we make an exception and pick the JCW?
No.
Yes.
No.
Or no. If NWA does Samhain.
No.
I don't know where to watch it and NWA now.
Yeah. All right. But JCW, I think JCW can open the door for that discussion.
I'm in.
I like it.
Brundo's in too. Especially if Green Phantom's there, Brundo's fuck 100%. No. What let's talk a little JCW before, because we're gonna talk some WWE too, and it's 316 day. We're gonna talk Austin. What was with the Brothers of Fun structure? But when they took off the face paint, did they give themselves Tourette's? Like, what was the story?
Twitches.
They're in witness protection or something.
I understand.
It's they a were fucking just Russo-rific storyline. That's what it is.
Terrible actors. Fucking terrible. I thought they were way better when they put the makeup on.
See, I was hoping that this is going to lead to them going with Vito, and then they get rid of fucking Knuckles and PCO.
Did you see the way Mickey Knuckles ate that banana? And now Vince.
I fucking did. Yeah.
Big Vito is.
Catatonic.
He's been turned to stone.
Yeah.
I didn't make it through the entire episode, so.
Yeah, but it didn't affect Willie Mack. He had his fucking knob gobbled a little bit.
Yeah, but I think.
A little bit.
I don't think it's out of turn to say this. I think Mickey Knuckles raped Big Vito.
Whoa. I think he did too. Happy birthday, Marie.
Oh, Charmaine's back. Happy birthday, kid.
Happy birthday. Woman.
What?
I'm a kid.
Shouldn't say happy birthday. What? There's one thing I can't stand. It's wishing people happy birthday. Have yourself Steve Weiser. Could open a present. What? Another present. What? What a candle. What? Another candle. What?
Piece of cake.
What?
Another piece of cake.
What?
Open a present.
What?
Get an Amazon card.
What?
Sing happy birthday.
What?
Pop some balloons.
What?
Hit the pinata.
What?
Eat some food.
What?
Eat some more cake.
What?
Suck a dick.
Nah, champ. Not your birthday. Somebody else gets to do that for you.
You dumb fucking idiot.
Whoa, Brundlefly. Nah, champ. That's no good.
Like Brando. A stallion cock in your face before.
Jesus, Brundo, you're not even
the
here.
The fuck's his problem?
Yeah, come on, man. I'm trying to wish young lady a happy birthday. You got to be disrespectful. Right. Come on. Man.
What? See, Charmaine gets it. What?
Yeah, she's playing along. I like that.
Are you turned on yet, sweetie?
I forgot about that.
Oh, I haven't. He plays it every week. Wait till Diana talks later.
Yeah, Charmaine, what do you want for your birthday?
I thought it was rape night. Now it's rape.
Come on, dude.
Tony, what are you doing?
Whoa.
Huh?
Nah, champ.
Yeah, I want to do a show till 10 o'clock tonight. Why not? I'll be a little sticky on Menards.
Food.
Dude, my mouth's not even moving. What is wrong with you?
That's the way I like it.
You want to know why your mouth's not moving?
The cavity, you fucking retard.
Oh, jeez. Tony!
I don't even know what it said. Why is your shit so, like, muted tonight?
I think it's the... Well, what's so muted?
I don't know. Like sometimes when you're talking, like, in the intro, or sometimes when you're, like, playing sounds, like, it just sounds muffled.
Yeah, I gotta fucking fix my settings. Something's wrong with my shit, and I'm not fucking with it in the middle of the show.
Ask Brundlefly. He'll help you.
Well, Facade cheated again, and Disco Ray got screwed over, I guess, by the Ring Rat, so she's fucking completely worthless still, no matter who she represents.
Yeah, the Ring Rat. Hey, I found out something about Veda Scott. One of the reasons why she might be so terrible at commentary.
Why is that?
Allegedly, she spends a lot of time looking at her phone during the show and not so much at the action in the ring.
Oh, no.
Good for her. She's probably filing papers. She's a lawyer, you know.
No, she's not. She's as much as a lawyer as you are.
She's a... If only she were that good. No, she's a fucking lawyer, dude.
She sucks.
Well, it was a little weird when Vince Russo was like, you leave your hiney there.
Yeah, that was a little fucking weird, right?
That's my favorite show to watch. Sometimes it's just a fucking car crash.
You know, I don't like is that so, and I didn't make it through the entire episode, unfortunately, this week, but why are they doing fucking like 22, 25 minutes worth of fucking promo shit before the fucking show even starts? Like why is that? No. Like the last 2 weeks in a row that you have Vince, was it last week? It was Russo coming out and all that. This week it was the Brothers of Funstruction and their paint. And then the fucking Jay comes out. Like they're doing like 20 to 25 minutes worth of promo work before the show even kicks off. Like don't do that on a fucking YouTube indie show. And blows my mind, Vince Russo yelling at Big Vito saying it's a ratings business. Get the fuck out of here. What a fucking moron. This show's on goddamn YouTube, Sweet Cheeks. It's not a fucking ratings business, you asshole.
Sweet Cheeks, huh?
Yeah, Sweet Cheeks.
He's treating it like it's the Monday Night Wars, HK.
It's 2026, champ.
Nah, champ, you got to over a long promo. You got to every show is an episode, so you got to set the stage with the opening promo.
No, horrible. I don't mind seeing the Brothers of Funstruction as was it the Brothers Chacon?
Well, that didn't last long. It lasted almost a whole episode,
which is fucking stupid. Like, at least let it play out a little bit longer. It's like that bullshit before where he's like, "All right, create the tag team." Have the tag team split up, and then have the split up tag team face each other in the main event of the show, all one show. Perfect. Do it. Like, horrible, man. Horrible.
Yeah, I would have liked to seen them without the makeup on for like a couple weeks and see where it goes.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why they had that Violent J have like the come to Jesus moment to start the show, and then they make the save at the end. Like, BFD.
Yeah. BF what?
Yeah, big fucking deal. Gives a shit.
Oh God, you're hip. Can you explain, because I didn't fucking see the entire episode. I thought fucking Willie and Tony gave the belts back to the brothers.
Then they won a number one contenders match last week, and now they were the number one contenders, and now they're tag champs because they beat PCO and Nux.
But wouldn't they have to beat the fucking Funstruction brothers to get
the champs anymore? They lost to fucking PCO.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. I forgot. My bad. I'm with you.
I mean, it's the same three fucking teams in a tag title match every week, except if you throw the zombies in there once in a while.
I don't like them.
I kind of do. I dig the zombies.
I like the outbreak.
Yeah.
What happened to Chop City?
I don't know. I don't know. They were entertaining.
Oh. Were they?
I thought so. It was different. It's different. It's the same fucking people every week, man. It's like, they got to change it up. Why you got to send Kerry Morton to Japan?
To punish him, bro.
And now Matt Cross lost to the Chosen One.
How was the J-Rod match? That go okay or no?
Yeah. It was a tag match.
Yeah.
But was it a tag match?
It was a tag match
where one of them said Big Al was the number one contender, and then someone said she wasn't the number one contender.
Yes. So Vanna said she was, and then John said she wasn't.
Joe.
Or she thinks she is, or whatever the fuck his name is.
Joe Dombrowski, not John.
Whatever. Same shit. I'm too busy looking at my phone to even fucking give a shit about fucking
that boy. Also, are you surprised that Disco Ray is with the Ring Rat?
No, not at all.
Can you blame him? She's not good, though. She's not good for these guys. They all keep losing. Nope.
One of his fucking shoes stopped lighting up, too. So I wonder if that's gonna continue on to the next taping.
Also, what is fucking Stephen Flo's problem?
Stephen Flo.
Stephen Flo. Stephen Flo.
He's mad because cocaine's never there for him.
Cocaine was there for him. He got sprayed in the face with the thing, and then he had to get the fucking serum from Barnabas.
Yeah, why would Barnabas advertise that he had the fucking serum before he got sprayed in the face? Like, what the fuck?
We can ask him in 2 weeks why he's fucking putting it out there.
Well, you guys can ask him.
I will. Why are you fucking putting it out there that you have the fucking serum?
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
No, let Stephen Flo suffer. He's already got fucked up teeth. He fits right in with the zombie.
Well, maybe he's pale as shit too. Like, is he eating right? Are they feeding Stephen Flo?
I don't
feeding Flo.
His best friend is cocaine. All right.
All right, fair enough.
Maybe he's trying to get fucking clean, right?
And when's cocaine cashing in his title shot? Where the fuck is Ken Anderson? Like, what's going on?
Ken Anderson was on this episode.
Yeah,
he didn't wrestle. He was in the back.
You know, he's got.
The boys in the back.
Okay, what the fuck?
At least he showed up.
Sure. Okay, I guess.
I understand why they air all the commercials they do during the show, but I could do without him. I fast forward through a lot.
Where the fuck is the Green Goblin? They've been advertising him. And then there's that guy who's all mellow and shit, and then he gets spooky. Like
Red Love?
Yeah.
What's his name? Red Love?
Red Love?
Yeah, where the fuck is he?
They're building him up.
And where the fuck is Jonathan Coachman? He's been gone for like 3 weeks now.
Who gives a shit?
You can't send in a fucking 2-minute video?
He's a busy man.
Busy doing what?
I don't know. I think the problem is they tape all these all at once, so it's like all the same guys.
Yeah.
Like, I can't watch another fucking Stranglemania fucking commercial. I really can't.
Well, Vampiro's wrestling his final match at Stranglemania.
Who gives a shit?
Oh, by the way, did you see the fucking Juggalette that did the main event?
You loved her.
Fuck yeah.
I pay attention to the Juggalettes.
It smells like armpits and Clamato juice, but it's all good.
I go, would Tony approve of this Juggalette?
Huh?
When I see the
when you watch them?
Yeah, and I say, would Tony approve? Yes, I think he would. Think he would. They got merch now. How does Luigi Primo have his own fucking
That's team? What the fucking question of the week is. The guy wrestled what, one match? Maybe did he wrestle two? Maybe that's enough.
I don't know. Like fucking December, right?
Yeah, it's a while
ago. He really looks like he's got a fucking like he hangs out with cocaine more than anybody else. His eyes just come out of his fucking head. Nicest guy in the world, but my God, he's scary looking. Oh, Vince's favorite wrestler, by the way.
Of course. He made the pizza pie.
But does he make it a cheese?
Da, 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 da.
Is that what they do? Is that what you do when you make the pizzas?
Oh, you know what I do.
Please tell me Double T does that. Da, 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 da.
Da, 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 da. Hey, let me ask you guys.
Fucking Double T gets the chicken dance going while he's waiting for the pie to come out.
He's like, stop leaning. Come on. We're doing the thing with the Ruth and Loop de Loop. Stop leaning.
Let me ask you guys this.
Oh, no.
No, because it's supposed to be WrestleMania season. It don't feel like WrestleMania season to me.
Sure it does. What are you talking about?
We're a month away.
Cody Rhodes got bloodied, battered, and fucking beaten.
So last week you hated that Cody Rhodes.
I really do. I hate it. I hate the fucking.
And now
match.
You're okay because what? Randy's.
No, I'm glad that fucking Randy beat the shit out of him. Fuck him.
Is the fucking Miz and Kit Wilson against Jelly Roll and whoever like a WrestleMania match? Like, come on.
Wait, who's Jelly Roll teaming up with?
I don't know.
Please let it be Danhausen. Please let it be Danhausen.
I don't know.
Is Jelly Roll fucking doing the curse with Danhausen?
Yeah, but I don't think Jelly Roll can do the curse.
Why not?
He doesn't have the powers.
Maybe fucking Danhausen gives him the powers. For one night only, I give you the powers. See, I could do that fucking gimmick.
That's a pretty good Danhausen.
I brought this up last night when Kate was here, right? People, so-and-so, they fumbled this person in AEW. Tony Khan fumbled fucking Danhausen.
Tony Khan fumbles everything.
But like, no, like seriously, like they were like, when the Young Bucks were like going broke, right? Like, wouldn't it just be great if fucking Danhausen showed up? He's like, I curse you. And then he leaves and they fucking lose the next match and they lose their money at the casino. Like there were so many instances where they could have used Danhausen. He's 3 weeks in the WWE. He has the most popular t-shirt. They already made a fucking wrestling buddy of him. And he was under contract with AEW for 4 years. And they didn't do shit with him.
I think once Punk left, there was a big, like, problem because he was a Punk guy. You know? I think that could have been part of it.
But that's just sheer stupidity on a business end.
Yes, of course it is. But this is the way they run their business. When was the last time you saw Keith Lee on TV? But when was the last time you seen anybody who left? Ricky Starks, they fucking shit-canned all of them.
I think Keith Lee has like a health thing.
Is he still in the contract?
Yeah, I think so. But I think like he got like a bad case of like COVID and like it's something with his lungs where like he can't perform.
Yeah, but all right, aside from Keith Lee, there's tons of other people that.
Of course, look, there's people that did, like Ricky Starks, Ethan Page, people that don't fit. Like they just didn't know what they were doing. Like during the pay-per-view last night, there were two instances where people were like, all these people on the card, all these return, where's Sammy Guevara, where's Britt Baker? And they both were like, don't ask me, I don't know. It's not my call.
Britt Baker talked shit that she wasn't being used enough, so they said, fuck you. And Sammy Guevara is, you know, he fucking hurt Matt Hardy 16 times. But on top of that, he's home with his fucking wife and his kid now. He probably don't give a shit. Pay me to stay home.
Like the look, I am the first to admit it. When we were going to Elimination Chamber and the rumors were Danhausen, and I was like, I don't know if he fits in the WWE. I've been wrong since the Monday Night Raw after Elimination Chamber. Like they bring him out during commercial breaks. He fucking puts over his fucking t-shirt. His t-shirt fucking sells. His social media is fantastic.
Yeah,
this guy was the number one selling t-shirt on Pro Wrestling Tees. For years, when he was signed to AEW and he wasn't on TV. It is mind-blowing that Tony Khan and company fucked this up so bad.
I am...
Is it really mind-blowing?
No,
it's not. It is.
No, it's not. Come on.
No, I am... I'm so excited that they've found, like, his spot. Because I know, like, when he first showed up, I told you guys, I was excited about it.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Even, like, the way they came... And, like, just... He fills that need of the show. He fills that goofy, take a breath, laugh, enjoy what's in front of you. Like he fills it perfectly. He's doing a fantastic job. Merch is incredible. And he's a guy that like you're excited to see when he's on your TV. Like when he shows up, you're like, all right, what's going to happen now? For a while, like back when Santino was completely comedy, like he was something you'd look forward to, like when he showed up just to get the laugh. Danhausen's knocking out of the park, man. 100% in on Danhausen.
Yeah, it's fucking great. Apron Bump hit us with rumor is Jelly is teaming with Royce Keyes.
Royce Keyes hasn't done shit since the Rumble.
Yeah. WrestleMania, buddy.
I mean, I guess.
Like, I don't get, like, Jade Rhea is like a fucking train wreck waiting to happen.
No, it's going to be awesome.
No, it's not. Stop.
Yeah, it is.
No, stop. Phil and Joe, Liv and Steph, and Cody, Randy, even though I don't really care about it, I'm sure it'll be fine. But like, what are we doing with, you know, rumors are, who's Brock going against, right? Rumor is Brock doesn't want to lose until his retirement match. Somewhere I saw like Gunther, Rey Mysterio. Well, I don't know.
Ray's retirement?
I don't know. We're four weeks away from Mania.
It doesn't feel like it should be 4 weeks away right now, but I don't mind the idea of Brock not losing until his retirement. Like, that doesn't bother me one bit. I don't think
people are like, oh, Brock Oba at Mania.
Why? Why would they do that?
Well, there we go. Marking out just said, Brock just had a segment with Seth. They went face to face and Oba came out. Powerbomb Brock, big Mania seg.
Huh.
Maybe Brock likes the munchkins. Maybe he wants the munchkin necklace.
Maybe he's just hungry.
I'm okay with it.
Right. Didn't they do Brock Omos? Was that a thing?
Yeah,
that was the WrestleMania match, right?
Yep.
I don't know. It just doesn't feel like, I don't feel it. Like, I'm not excited for it. I'm also like probably the last person that should be saying this because I'm not like dialed in, but like HK, you watch Raw every week, right? Like,
yep.
Are you like, do you feel like it's WrestleMania season?
Not really. I don't. And it's unfortunate. It doesn't feel like the builds are quite all there from an excitement standpoint from for me at least. We have time, we still have 4 weeks out. So that's, handful of Raws, handful of SmackDowns. We can get there. Orton and Cody, that I am interested in. I don't see SmackDown a lot. So I am excited to see kind of what they do there. I think that Punk and Roman, their build has been very intriguing. I like what they've done so far. So, but outside of that, there's not a lot that, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't, that feeling, you know what I mean? That feel, it's almost like when you get older, and your birthday is not like a thing you look forward to anymore. It's just another day. It's kind of feeling like that for WrestleMania this year for me right now. It's like, it's just another day. But that could change. We still got time.
Yeah, it could. It just it feels like in past Manias, like they've had an idea of what they're going for. But like this one, like with the Drews, like I didn't understand them putting the title on Drew just to put it back on Cody. Like, it just all seems like, it seems like they're like, let's dupe everybody. Like, oh, you think we're going to make a left? We're going to go right. And now, was it going to be Drew and Jacob Fatu at Mania? Which it's not terrible.
It's not bad, no.
But, like, is Penta going to defend the IC title? Who are the tag champs?
Don't worry about it. They'll AEW that shit and it'll all come together the week before. You'll love it. It'll fit right in. There'll be needles in the main event. It'll be really good to go.
Watch it. I probably won't watch WrestleMania.
It's just how many 5-star matches you think fucking AEW Revolution this past weekend?
Good question, Tony.
Who is that jerk off from
Meltzer?
Yeah, the Observer that was like, I was watching the best AEW pay-per-view I've seen, and then the fucking main event happened, and it was like they watched it up until the last 4 minutes of the pay-per-view.
You reading the Observer, dude?
Ryan Alvarez.
Yeah, that fucking jackass. Fuck him.
I don't know. I thought the pay-per-view was good.
All right, good. I didn't mean to bring it up again. By the way, Vettis Scott was an associate producer on Forensic Files. Remember that show?
Yeah, I watched it all the time.
She was actually a producer for like 22 episodes.
I'm sure the most exciting of the bunch.
Of course they were. All the characters are checking their phones for fucking 46 minutes.
Oh no, what happened?
He is really the fucking worst.
Is he the number one suspect? I don't know. Maybe.
Not champ or somebody else.
Oh my god.
What did Vince Russo say to her? Sit on them sweet cheeks. What did he fucking?
Don't move your hiney. Something weird. It was really like fucking creepy.
Yeah, and then you wonder if fucking Big Al was fucking truthful when she was making them allegations.
Oh, but there's never a conclusion to that. She just
because Violent J's like, yo, bro, you got to knock that shit off, son.
Quit sending them fucking dick pics to all these broads.
Probably sent it to fucking cocaine by mistake.
Nah, champ, I'm going to keep sending them.
Fucking...
Well, you know,
Russo sending dick pics to cocaine.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just not I don't know. WWE is not scratching me where I'm itching right now.
Well, what is scratching you where you're itching, Double T?
I watched AEW and JCW. Those are my two favorite shows.
No, that was a segue to get to the next part, dude. Come on. Follow along. What else we got to talk about?
That was it, really.
You know what's scratching my balls? Celebrate Austin 316. It's 316 day.
What?
You know what else would scratch my itch? Hearing you guys tell me your favorite Austin moments.
Stone Cold. We can't. None of this fucking Ringmaster. Don't go stunning, Steve.
Why? Ringmaster was Savio Vega. That's HK's favorite shit.
That's not Stone Cold.
Stop. Yes, it is. It was Stone Cold and everything but name at that point.
It was Ringmaster. He had hair. He looked awful. He wore
fucking hair.
Yeah, he did when he was the Ringmaster. He 100% had hair.
A little bit hair. Not much. No, a little
it was
bit.
Tight. And he wore green trunks with the fucking $1 million logo.
I think Ringmaster for a little while, no hair, no facial hair either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a little bit.
A little bit.
Hey, the seeds were there. You don't think? Yeah. I think
we all forget. I do think like it's maybe lost like. After Austin 316, didn't he wrestle Yokozuna on like the free for all on SummerSlam?
Yeah, he wasn't. The rope snapped, and
he wasn't quite there right after Austin 316.
Actually, I think wasn't that the Rumble?
No, it was SummerSlam.
I thought that was a qualifier for the King of the Ring, or was that Savio?
I could have swore it was the Rumble. Could have been SummerSlam though. I just don't know why they would have the Yoke and Austin on a pre-show for SummerSlam though.
It's free for all. Stone Cold Steve Austin defeated
Yeah, it's free for all for SummerSlam.
A minute and 52 seconds. Yeah. Huh. Yeah. He won the King of the Ring in 96, right?
Wait. What is this? So AI is telling me this matchup with Yoko and Stone Cold is also infamous because in 1996, during a match in South Africa, Austin had an incident where he shit his pants and told Yoko to go home early. Did this happen? Did we know this?
Yes. That has nothing to do with the SummerSlam match, though.
No, but AI is fucking weird like that. It just fucking brought it in.
That's why you can't trust AI. AI doesn't know what the fuck it's talking about. You never heard him tell that story?
Maybe I did. I don't remember.
Yeah, he shit his pants after I think a Yoko leg drop or something.
Oh yeah, he told the story on that wing show. What's the wing show where they eat the fucking hot wings?
Oh, hot wings.
Oh, that. I thought you were just talking about the show Wings.
Yes, he was on Wings. Him and fucking Deborah Messing, wasn't she on that show?
Get out of the cockpit, gonna shit my pants, kid.
Was she on Wings? No, she was on Will and Grace. Who the fuck was on Wings?
I see her face. It's got like a square face. Square face, broad.
Let me see. Now I got to find out who's on Wings.
Crystal,
Courtney Thorne Smith? Crystal
Bernard?
Who? Yes, Crystal Bernard. That's her. And Tony Shalhoub was on that show? What the fuck?
Yeah, you're a fucking Tony Shalhoub.
You're a fucking schlub.
Back to fucking The Rock.
Back to fucking The Rock.
Oh, yeah.
Let me write that down.
Stone Cold. Stone Cold. man, fucking Stone Cold was awesome. His stuff with Brett. Like, because that's like such a weird. Like, when he's like, When you take the ass and you put it in front of Hitman, that's what you get. Like, that was on Superstars in 1996, and that is stuff we were not getting.
I thought he said take the ass and put it in front of Hitman.
Oh, take the ass.
You sound like you said.
It did say, like I said, ass, but I was letting it go.
You know, and they would do those, like, real, like uncharacteristic WWF videos with him where he's like fucking walking through like the fucking silhouettes and he's like talking shit about Bret Hart and it's like, whoa, this is something we have never
wasn't there a DVD release Stone Cold said so and he's walking with JR?
Yes. Yep.
And he just cranking his head off.
I had the VHS of that and he says fuck on that VHS and it blew my mind when he said it. It blew my mind because I was going, wait a second, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. VHS, like, you shouldn't be doing that. No, no, no. Not my Coliseum video.
Why not?
That's not, you didn't get that, man.
You do realize Coliseum Video was also running porn movies at the same time they were making working for WWE, right?
Well, suck me sideways. I did not know that.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, who'd they have under contract?
Well, I think Coliseum was like an offshoot. Like, I don't think they were putting out pornos under Coliseum.
Okay. Gotcha.
All right. What else you guys got?
I want to know who Coliseum had under contract.
Internet, figure it out. Wizard.
Tony's already typing.
Here it is. They were, so Coliseum not only distributed WWF videos, but they were Evart Enterprises. They had some sort of dealing with them where, like, they were releasing the videos under that name, something like that. So there you go.
Okay. All right.
Like, yeah, he's looking for titles though, so we can Google him later. You got anything?
Yeah, let me see. I can.
Maybe does Dallas fucking In Through the Outdoor Part 2.
Listen, if they got WWF, I really doubt they're doing some high quality shit. You know? Oh, here we go.
Hitler sucks. What do you got?
Why is it all blurry? What the fuck happened?
Well, it's a VHS.
No.
You got to. Gotta press the 2 and the select button at the same time on the remote. It'll come.
Or it could be just get the tracking. If you got the remote, it's got the tracking.
Oh, they were sued. Oh, they sued Mark Johnson Enterprises in 2010 for some reason. I don't know what that's all about. So I can't pull it up because when I open it up, but they were actually Annie Sprinkles was their big star. I don't know if you remember her. She was in Deep Inside Annie Sprinkles, also Little Oral Annie. Inside Jennifer Wells, a lot of insides. That must be like a fucking, you know,
Little Old Oral Annie.
Yeah, you never heard of her? I think she was on the HBO show when they used to do it. Real Sex.
Yeah, I remember that show. Jeez. I don't remember Little Oral Annie.
Yeah.
What, the Inside series, is that presented from fucking Splunkers? What are we doing here?
Evart Enterprises. Let me see. No, because that page, like, the images are blurred and you don't get the titles. I don't know if you have to be a member. I don't know what that is.
Jesus Christ. What do we do? Happy 316 Day.
Yeah, Evart was the production company and Coliseum was the distributor. So there you go.
There you go. Little Oral Annie.
Ah, here we go. Here's the fucking, oh, it's DVD bootlegs. That's why they got sued. Let me see. I don't know. Oh, yeah. So they were suing Mark Johnston because he was selling low-quality bootleg DVDs of the 1981 skin flick classic Deep Inside Annie Sprinkle. So the guy was selling bootleg pornos out of his fucking house. There you go.
Huh.
Yeah, look at that.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Well. Oh, here, Silky. I guess Silky was another movie.
Okay.
Oh, Silky. Wait, who's in Silky? Hillary Summers, Sandy Suarez, Robin Bird. Oh, Merle Michaels. I wonder if it's Sean's sister. With a special appearance by Gloria Leonard. What's with all the fucking first names?
Tony, maybe make a note, and we can ask next week's guest if she ever did any videos for.
What is Evart? This? I doubt.
Yeah,
it.
Evart.
These are productions from the '80s. Come on.
Jasmine St. Clair was in the 90s?
Yeah, I think a little more 90s, yeah.
All right. Well, you never know. They were getting sued in 2010.
Well, yeah, because Evart apparently was still around.
Evart, what is that? Is that like an acronym for something, or is it something spelled backwards?
Yes, every vagina aims right there.
The Mickey Knuckles story. All right. Do you want to give your 316 moments?
Oh, so I still get a kick out of it because you guys probably know this story. I've told you guys before, anybody that listened to the Year of Duke and Rogue podcast. Wrestling was outlawed at Duke's home for a year. A full calendar year, because Duke's old man saw the WrestleMania 13 match
between Bret Hart and Steve Austin and said, not in my house.
So, really?
Yes. So he could not watch wrestling for a calendar year. Said, nope, not happening. So every now and again, Duke would be over on like a Saturday. I'm like, come on, man, let's watch Superstars. It's all right. Come on. Like, well, you can watch it here. It's all right in my place. But yeah, I still love that whole thing. And the only Raw that I've ever missed was Tyson and Austin. And that's where I'm never fucking missing this shit again. So yeah.
Why did you miss that Raw?
So I was at a fucking, it was a school function. So I was in way up north Minnesota, like a camping gimmick for school. So yeah, fucking hated every minute of it. So some really fun stories came out of that trip though. Yeah. But yeah, I would much rather have been home watching Raw.
Tony, what do you got for me?
Five words. Price check on a jackass. The shit with Booker T, and then like when Booker T calls Vince and says he's hiding at the church and Vince just starts fucking laughing. Good shit. Love that whole thing.
The Austin and Angle comedy stuff.
Oh my god! Is
fucking like some of the most untouchable.
Sugar crack corn, and I don't care. Yeah. I want all the people. When he gives him a little fucking cowboy hat and shit. Yeah. Yeah. Or when Vince was trying to fucking talk up WWF.
Yes.
And Austin just keeps repeating everything, and fucking Undertaker's about to break, and he's like, "Knock it off." Yeah.
Kane, Undertaker. Like his comedic timing is some of the best of any character they've ever had. And even like I think we've talked about it before, the after Raw goes off the air with the after party DVD set, like
yeah,
he's all over that motherfucker, and it's hilarious. The homework from a couple weeks back was him and the Rock after Raw went off the air. Fucking hilarious. His comedic timing is unbelievable.
How about this one? Do you need any more help, doctor? Oh no, nurse, I got it from here. And the fucking bang of the fucking bedpan, and Vince just sells it like he got fucking hit in the head with a fucking mallet. Just with the fucking and then he rolls over and his fucking backside showing.
Oh, getting ready for the Royal Rumble in 99 when he stuns Jeff Jarrett and does the strut. Yes.
Which Rumble was it where he fucking clears the field and he's just sitting on the top turnbuckle checking his watch?
98. Yeah.
Fucking amazing. Yeah, the matches don't even matter. He was just entertaining all around. He was one of the fucking best ever.
Well, and that's like, so, and that's not even to say that there were bad matches or anything like that. Like he's still fucking amazing matches. Like he was a true, like total package.
Well, his shit with the Undertaker, for some reason, they didn't really mesh too well.
They never
clicked. Also, after he broke his neck, he changed the way he worked.
Well, I think SummerSlam, he got concussed, right? I think like 2 or 3 minutes into the match with the Undertaker, he wound up getting fucked up somehow, or was it Taker that got fucked up? One of them was concussed, and it kind of threw everything off.
God, I don't remember.
But yeah, he had to completely change his style when Owen. I was there for that when Owen fucked him up.
Yeah, Austin and Taker never clicked. For whatever reason, I don't know why. Both of them are fucking fantastic.
Dude, fucking Lance Storm, boring.
he was awesome. The shit with Vince is priceless. The fucking Vince pisses his pants, he has the gun, and he fucking, it just says bang
316.
I hate the heel turn, and I hate the two-man power trip.
Yeah, but it also gave us that great match with Jericho and Benoit.
Yeah.
Probably one of the best matches ever on Raw.
I don't know about that.
You don't think so? Dude, the fucking place went banana for that fucking match.
You have a best match on Raw?
In the history of Raw? You wouldn't put it up there, top 10 best matches?
You didn't say top 10. You said best match of Raw.
It's in consideration.
Top 10 now. We're talking.
All right. That's all I was asking.
All right. Yeah, I don't know, man. All those years of like... him being the anti-establishment, like, fuck you, Vince, to have him go with Vince was kind of like...
Yeah, of course. They should have just John Cena'd the shit and have him turn on Vince a week later.
That fine. That would have been great. Or the next pay-per-view. We could have worked.
Him joining the fucking Alliance.
That's great shit.
He also took his ball and went home.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, he did.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't blame him. Didn't want a job to Brock for no reason on TV.
Yeah, that's a sound like reasoning behind it. Just horrible way to carry out your business.
Well, I mean, but that was the problem with like Austin. A lot of the guys will say, like, if you don't like what's being proposed, propose something else. Don't just say, I don't want to do it. I don't like it.
Yeah.
That's no bueno, and especially WWF.
I also think he was like Steve Austin. Like, he was like, he could do whatever the fuck he wanted to do. Not saying it was right.
Yeah.
But like he had, you know, I don't think the WWE reaches the height of popularity that it did without Austin.
Better song, Glass Shatters or Beat Deborah?
Beat Deborah's pretty catchy.
Beat Deborah's very catchy.
Right, but it's almost like the rock and wrestling conversation, right? I don't think it works with anyone but Hogan. I don't think the Attitude Era works with anyone but Austin.
Yeah, but rock and wrestling also got a huge boost from Cyndi Lauper being involved, Mr. T getting involved. Like,
of course, but like that doesn't work if like Jimmy Snuka's the guy.
Brother, I want to listen to Girls Just Want to Have Fun. Girls, I want to throw them off a cliff.
No, it doesn't work that way, Jimmy.
I think... And going through like everybody there, he had the great feud with Bret Hart and all that. And then like any moving up into Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels is a great foil for him, and they worked well together. Austin versus DX. And then once he finally, got the championship, moved on. Like the whole build throughout worked great.
Are we losing Kevin on that?
Yeah, your mic was like you were in and out there.
Suck me sideways.
No, you're better. You're better now. You're better now.
All right.
I'll still suck you if you need it.
I appreciate that. You're a good friend.
You know what? Can't hate it either. Austin came back, took on Kevin Owens in that street fight at Mania.
Who did?
That was a hell of a good time.
Yeah.
Hell of a good time.
Hey, did that thing with Becky Lynch too, right?
69?
No, they drank during the pandemic, right? Didn't they do something in the ring?
They did some video shit where when she became the man, like Austin interviewed her or something, and then Austin ate a stunner. It was some sort of video like... It was like a TV thing. It wasn't like on like the programming, if I remember.
I don't remember.
They did a Raw thing, didn't they?
Maybe. Oh, you know what? They did. They did. But they also did an interview where fucking Austin ate a stunner.
Wait, is that when they stunned Ford?
Maybe, yes. I think so.
Starting a faint memory.
Come on there, Beatnik fucking Danielson. Wait. Yeah, looking up Montez Ford getting beat up. All right, dig it. Married Brie Bella. Big Bongo on them titties. Yeah. Can you dig that?
It was, they celebrated 316 Day. And he fucking stunned Byron Saxton. And then Becky came out. And they had a beer together.
It's not that good.
I didn't say it was good, but I thought they did something together during the pandemic.
And you were right.
It's not about being right. All right, Becky comes down. She's got her little cooler. Austin's laughing. They fucking do the beer bath. What?
Oh, they were celebrating 316 Day. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Well, that's what he just fucking said.
Sorry, I was.
You were beta scouting?
No, I was looking up. Becky Lynch hit Steve Austin with a picture perfect Stone Cold Stunner, and unfortunately, the fucking image is not here.
Do you have like your like?
Google I found the video. Stuff? You fuckheads. You want to watch it?
If you sure, are we gonna get a copyright strike?
A shit, really, from fucking MWO, whatever the fuck this broadcast is. Let me see. Share the screen. Stop this fucking thing.
Let me see.
All right, take down the fucking that shit down. There we go. All right, let me press play on the gimmick, make sure the volume's up.
What a gent. Thank you.
Becky, cheers. Here's to you.
Thank you.
When the mind comes around.
Yeah.
Teach that fuck a lesson.
That's not nice.
Yeah, fuck that.
He took a good stunner though.
Of course he did. He's an expert.
Which McMahon took the worst? Linda or Vince?
Oh, fucking Linda for sure.
Depends which Vince you're talking about.
No, even the last one Vince took didn't compare to fucking Linda just clamming up and not wanting to take anything.
Jesus.
Is that any other Austin shout outs we want to give before we move on to
No, I think we covered the gamut already.
Alan Day wants to know who took the best stunner.
Handsome Kevin to that fucking gym teacher.
Nah.
It was the broad. It was the little broad, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I take a damn fine stunner.
Now that you lost weight, we have to see if it matches up.
What do you mean?
You know, Big HK got a nice little bounce off that canvas. You might just fucking stick to it now. You ain't got no more extra weight on you.
That ain't good.
Oh, you know what? Before we do blind rankings, can we just talk about something really fast? I got to bring it up. You guys saw the fucking nasty OVW thing with the referee, right?
Yeah, I went back and watched it.
Right, you both have been in professional wrestling matches and like you have to be aware like of your
Al Snow said there was a communication issue.
The fact that he was shaking like a fucking leaf.
I mean, unless they're just communicating with the ref and they're not watching a monitor or anything, I don't know what the setup is in OVW, but still, somebody at some point's got to fucking like, hey, even the fucking ring announcer or the fucking timekeeper or something, run to the back. We need help. Get out here.
Yeah.
He takes the bump. The guy leans over to check on him. Right. And then he just goes to his next fucking spot.
He probably told him he was fine.
He wasn't.
Well, not immediately. I mean,
making like a fucking like it's clearly not a normal response to taking a bump.
I mean, Devon Dudley fucking responded like that every time he took a bump.
Accurate. It's so I think that like in the moment it's going to be like there's enough people there. There's enough people on hand that somebody should have stepped in sooner. 100%. But like at the same time, like I've been involved in matches where like the cell doesn't look quite right, but it's still a cell. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not saying like get rid of all the blame or anything like that, but like in the moment, like to go like this guy or this guy or this guy is at fault. I don't think it's fair to anybody in the ring because it's a split second situation. Like somebody outside of that ring needs to jump in. You know what I mean? Needs to jump in because clearly the guys that are in the ring don't know what's happening. Right. And like Tony said, the ref could have very well right away said, no, I'm fine. And then it got worse.
Because it didn't look like that bump was like something that would cause that kind of condition. Right.
Right.
Like it looked like pretty like he took the bump. Maybe he was fine. And then all of a sudden, like something just snapped, you know?
Exactly. And Tony, I'm sure you've been involved in matches where a cell doesn't look quite right. You know what I mean? It doesn't look like quite a cell, but it is a cell. You know what I mean?
We were training one night and the reinforcer, Andrew Anderson was somebody was coming off the top, trying to do a hurricanrana, like practicing it. And when he came down on the back of his head. And Andrew just got up and he's like, well, I guess that got fucked up. And the other guy was face down on the mat. And all of a sudden we hear, turns out he was okay, but he fucking knocked himself out. But he was like motionless. So we ran. We got Gino Caruso right away because he was in his office. We're like, dude, he's out. He's out. He came running out. But that was like right away. And that was also during training, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, shit, you've heard the story of my first bump. Yeah. Like the guys in the back were fucking concerned that I was out. You know what I mean? Like worried about it. There was two or three guys that had the presence of mind to say, no, he's okay. He's selling. But like there was people worried about that. So there's times when like I think it's hard for me to crucify the guys in the ring, like right away. You know what I mean? Like somebody else should have stepped in quicker. Yes, 100%. But being live, being in front of an audience, it's not an easy position to just shut it off and go, okay, now this has got to be done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the guy that usually does that is the referee. Like the referee is the guy that usually shuts it off and stops the shit and gets to go. So somebody on the outside needs to step in 100%, but like it's hard to crucify everybody.
Yeah. I kind of agree with HK, and plus you can't really blame Al Snow, because if Al Snow's in the back and he doesn't know what's going on, like somebody's got to give him the Iggy and let him know.
Right.
You know, so clearly a breakdown of communication. Maybe they thought he was selling, but I don't know, man. Like 10, 15 seconds in, the dude's convulsing. Like he's not, like typically when somebody's out, like you know they're out. When they're convulsing like that, you got to kind of have, you know, your spidey senses have to go off and go, maybe something's not right here, you know? Right. Even if the guy at ringside got up and fucking leaned in, hey, you okay, buddy? You okay? You know, something like that.
Something. Yeah.
And even if he is just selling, it just fucking goes to it. Like, you know, like, holy shit, he got fucking hurt.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Pull him out. Get your next spot in.
Well, that's, yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Fucking cosplayers. They're all cosplayers. None of them are professional wrestlers.
I think it's a little different, like that time that, what's his name, got knocked out in AEW, where he was just fucking completely out, and they just worked the match around his
Alex Reynolds?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a different situation.
But it's across the board. It's ridiculous.
No, it is. Like, somebody should have been a little more alert. There's, it doesn't go without blame, for sure.
What about who is it? Paul Orndorff with the animals and the fucking new blood. That way he's fucking wrestling around his goddamn body. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
that didn't go on too long, if I remember correctly.
It went on long enough. it was not pretty. It was not pretty. And then, like, again, it's an unfortunate situation. Like all the way around, it's an unfortunate situation. I'm happy that the kid's all right. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that's the good part of it. It's an experience, but it is a tough situation. It's just tough. Hard for me to crucify everybody involved. Yeah.
Don't worry, I have no problem crucifying everybody involved.
Well, you also crucify guests when they cancel last minute.
You know, that's part of the reason why professional should not be part of the. Just take it out of wrestling. Just call it wrestling. Cosplayers. They're not wrestlers anymore.
I want to book Mr. California.
No.
I'd love to see you interview him.
There wouldn't be an interview. I'd be like, you're fucking garbage. You're a disgrace to professional wrestling. And you can get off my fucking podcast now.
I was going to say get off my lawn there, fucking HK.
You and fucking Tombstone Jesus's kid can fucking kick rocks. You fucking think you're important.
You know what doesn't kick rocks, HK?
What?
What's that?
Our newest game that we bring to the table each and every week, Blind Rankings. And if I got a fucking great one for you guys tonight, we're blind ranking these five one-named wrestlers. Wrestlers with one name.
Ooh. Sexual.
All right, you guys ready to roll? I can start out with the first one.
Yes, yes.
Your
yes.
first name, China.
I'm going to go five. I'm going to put China at five.
Five for China, really?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. It's just not feel. I wasn't a big China guy.
And yeah, you like dudes.
Yeah,
like, women that look like dudes.
I mean, did you see your Playboy?
You see her Eve Art video.
Yes, that's what I'm looking for.
You see One Night in China. Yeah, I don't know, man. I think there's a lot better one name wrestlers out there too. And I think you're going to,
you don't know who's on the rest of the list, my man.
You know what? I don't know. China didn't really do anything for me.
Pretty confident with that pick. HK, where are you putting China?
Three. So she was fantastic, man. She broke a lot of ground as a female at the time, for sure. So yeah,
you don't get ninth wonder of the world for nothing.
Right. I mean, you know? Right, exactly. Fantastic. Like, and I she wasn't the
best talent ever, but look at what she did getting in the ring with the guys, right? IC Championship. I mean, even towards the end there when she, you know, she kind of lost the muscle mass, thinned up, and just wanted to be like, you know, like a nice lady. I'm okay with China. I'm throwing her at three.
All right. April Bumstead. I saw her play bro and was like, nah, son.
Nah, champ.
Nah, champ. Second name on the list, the man they call Vader.
Oh, man. Fuck.
Things change, huh?
No, I'm very comfortable with China at five now. What is... Oh, man. I'm going to put Vader at two.
Really?
I'm going to put the Mastodon at two. Big Vader guy. Definitely was not used to seeing somebody his size do what he did in WCW in Japan. I wish he had a better WWF run. If Shawn Michaels wasn't such a bitch. Love me some Vader, though. So I'm going to go number two for Vader.
I'm between two and one for Vader.
Wow. Going for numero uno already.
Vader's one of my all-time favorites. He was the first, like, heel that I think that I loved him. You know what I mean? Like as a heel wrestler, he was my guy, but I'm going to go two of Vader.
So both of you have him at number two.
Yeah. Cause I don't, you could go on the straight and narrow, right? Or you could like throw us a curveball, Tony. So I'm saving my one to see if you throw the deuce monster.
I don't know if this guy is a curveball. Umaga.
I'll go three for Umaga. I wasn't really watching wrestling at this time, but going back and seeing the stuff he did, like, pretty fucking impressive for a big guy. Did a lot of great stuff. The undefeated streak, going to that match with John Cena.
Bobby Lashley. Yeah. Battle of the Billionaires. Battle of the
Billionaires, yeah. So, again, I wasn't watching at the time, so maybe his impact on me is not as powerful as somebody who watched, wrestling at the time. But three, I'll put him at three.
HK, where are you putting Umaga?
Umaga is going to go at five for me, and it's nothing against him or anything like that. It's just the amount of work. Like the body, it's not a complete body of work, unfortunately. So, yeah, I'm going five.
Yeah, we lost Umaga pretty young.
Yep.
Somebody else we also lost, Yokozuna.
Oh, fuck my ass.
Wow. I'd rather not, but okay.
Oh, yeah, right. Grow up.
Well, not tonight. Come on.
Okay, good point.
Who does Tony
first the grumper, then the dumper?
Who does Tony have after?
Fuck my ass. Nah, champ, not tonight.
Nah, champ.
I'm going number one for Yoko.
Really?
I think for a man that's like to see him with the thrust kicks and how quick he was and the belly to bellies and get being in there with Brett and the people who were smaller and quicker, but he could kind of keep up with them. Like it wasn't like they were going to be faster than him. Like he could move for a fucking big guy. And you know, a guy that size throwing thrust kicks like that, I'm putting him at one because you can go anywhere with this last one, and I'm not getting stuck with like Mosh at number one. So I'm going Yokozuna.
I love Yokozuna, but I'm gonna put him at four.
Really?
I'm gonna roll the dice. I'm gonna see what happens. There is a lot of just solid one name wrestlers out there, and even if it is Mosh, I fucking like Mosh. So fuck me, I'm in.
Number one for Mosh, huh? You'd be okay with it. Well, and I hope you're okay with the last gentleman, Sheamus.
I'm great with Sheamus at four.
I mean, former multi-time WWF champion.
Yeah.
The Bar. I love The Bar. One of my favorite tag teams of all time.
But that's how many years are we into Sheamus when we got to, like, that's when I enjoyed him. I didn't enjoy him when he was, like, he looked like Beaker from the fucking Muppets. And he was beating John Cena because John stepped through the table and it broke.
Like, Sheamus and Drew and Gunther, still one of my all-time favorite Mania matches. Love the shit out of that match.
If I could flip Sheamus and Umaga, I would.
Yeah, but it's three and four. It's kind of like, you know, they're right there. HK, you happy with Sheamus at number one?
Nah, I don't know. No. And it's nothing against Sheamus. I just look, great body of work, right? Been around for a long time. Fantastic. Good hand. Still a good hand. He probably would have, if I was reworking this, I think he's probably going to go to 4. Vader go to 1. Yoke go to 2. But yeah, hey, we landed at what we landed at.
That's the list.
Mike Peterson threw a name out there, and that is why I put Vader at 2. Because as I was thinking of Vader, I was like, oh, if Tony throws Sting out there.
Oh, there were a couple of dogs, but I didn't want to just make it a fucking dog list. I wanted to go something more like a little bit out of the ordinary, but, you know, put some heavy hitters up
there. It was there. Undertaker, right?
No, it was like fucking Ivar, Otis, real fucking dogs. There's Mosh and Thrasher weren't even on the short list.
You could have thrown a Kane in there.
I mean, I could have.
Gold Dust is one word, right?
Midian. Yes.
Midian, yes.
Midian. Mantar.
Oh. Yeah, Mankind.
These guys didn't even cross my mind, but okay. Yeah, see, there you go. I don't want to fool you too much. I think it was enough variety on this one.
Yes, I think Tugboat.
Ooh, old Tugger. Earthquake. Yeah. The Shark.
Kamala, right?
Kamala could have been up there.
Yeah.
Gosh. Unlike Kamala, this list had legs.
Goldberg.
See, you didn't know.
Boogeyman.
Mike Peterson saying Axe or Smash. No, Marco Stunt is 2 names, you dipshit.
Who the fuck said Marco Stunt?
The same guy who's actually giving us good answers.
Fucking LOL, put the Mike. Pipe down.
Yeah, Jesus, dude.
I would have done Skinner. I would have put Skinner.
I mean, could have had Miro, Rusev, you know.
Crush would have been number 1.
Brother.
No.
Doink.
Doink, yeah. Doink could be a number 1.
Tatanka.
Tatanka.
Buffalo, yeah.
Buffalo, yeah. Fucking A. Fucking A. Tony with a great blind ranking, and then Tony hits us with a great homework.
I mean, how could you go wrong? Hulk Hogan had to go film No Holds Barred, allegedly. Needed a little time off. Fucking great way to get the Macho Man his first chance at a WWF championship. Something he wouldn't have gotten with Hulk Hogan at the top of the food chain. A one-night tournament, WrestleMania 4, Atlantic City, New Jersey, at the Trump Plaza. I think it actually really wasn't the Trump Plaza, but let's go with it. Wasn't it the convention center, actually? I mean, they called it the Plaza, but it was really like the convention center.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think by the next year around, it was...
It was still Trump Plaza, but it really wasn't Trump Plaza. But, you know, yeah. Trump was... He was controlling that at the time. I think he had an interest in the property, but whatever. Whatever, whatever, whatever.
Now, I think the most pressing question with the homework is something that Gorilla brought up. Vanna or Miss Elizabeth?
Vanna.
You just write to Vanna, huh? Yeah.
See, I don't know. When I was a kid around this age, like I was watching Wheel of Fortune all the time, but it wasn't for Vanna. Like I genuinely used to enjoy the show.
It's for Pat, right?
Yes, for Pat.
And his Pat's big Jack.
His big fucking spinning wheel penis.
I'd love to stick that bankruptcy sign up.
Fucking 11 or 12. What's wrong with you?
Oh, sorry. Spank me with that bankruptcy sign, Pat.
If I win the trip, can you come with me?
This is the same guy that said fucking Air Supply was going to tag team my kid over the weekend.
I mean, they're like in their fucking 70s and they're running teenager backstage. What did you think was going to happen?
Nah, champ. We're going to do an encore.
I mean, what can I say? DiBiase had a bye. Andre got rid of Hogan in the tournament. Savage was on his 4th match for the evening. This was unprecedented, you know, like territory. And plus, this is for the vacant WWF Undisputed Championship because it had been disputed back in February. So there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
This was young Tony's fucking wrestling youth at its pinnacle right here.
This was awesome. I love this shit. This was so, you know, we talked to AEW before the 46 minute main event. This was
under 10 minutes.
Entrances and the shit afterwards, it was probably like a 12-minute main event.
I don't even think it was that long.
Yeah, I don't think
the video was 16 minutes.
Yeah. We got full entrance with Andre and DiBiase.
Yep.
We got full entrance with Savage and Liz wearing their fourth different set of outfits for the evening, which was a nice touch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I thought it was fucking great. The way it played out was great. You know, Gorilla and Jesse set it up. Like you said, Tony, four matches. DiBiase gets the bye. He's fresh. That was the plan with Andre. You know, DiBiase already got to hold the belt once. He knows what he's going after. You know, Andre on the outside being a complete fucking nuisance.
Yep, like he should have been.
So that was one of my favorite parts of this match, is because it's not Andre like causing absolute havoc right away. Like the first thing he does, he just kind of grabs Randy's leg and gets Randy's attention. Yeah. And then the next time around, he grabs Randy's leg and Randy goes flying. You know what I mean? Like he is not, it's just, you know, that he's there and you know that there's a threat, and it's done just so fucking perfectly. And in my opinion, from a guy that stands on the outside of the ring too, like it was beautiful, just absolutely beautiful. I think Randy and DiBiase could have a great match, even if there wasn't all the outside stuff. You know, I think both of them work fantastic, and even fantastic together. Having the Hulkster come down and the extra, you know, the extracurricular stuff is nothing that I'm ever going to be a giant fan of, especially when it's the, you know, it's your super face. Like, why is your super face using a steel chair to help your other face win the title? Like, I didn't love that part of this match, and I don't think I ever will. But do I love the entirety of the match? Yes, I do.
Go ahead, Double T.
Hogan's whole run is right.
He
beats them at their own game.
Yeah.
He outsmarts them.
As a kid, I remember watching Andre grab the leg and then Andre grabbing him again. Mm-hmm. And then when Savage finally gets control and DiBiase gets shit canned, he goes up to the top and Andre just stands in front of DiBiase.
He says jump too.
Yeah. As a kid, I was like, and then when he fucking whispers to Liz, like, I'm fucking jumping off the edge of my couch going, she's going to get the Hulkster. Yeah. I'm like, watching it now, I'm like, my God, she got up those fucking stairs quick in those heels. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Up that fucking long runway, and then the Hulkster comes out and he does the fucking look, and he starts. And the crowd,
I got goosebumps today when I watched it.
Yeah, the crowd goes nuts. You know what else I like too? I watched a short shoot video clip with DiBiase, and he said Macho Man planned the match out the way he usually does, but Ted told him, he said, "Look, we'll do whatever you want to do, but if I'm feeling something and I say let's do this, we'll get back to what you want to do, but let me just veer off topic for a minute, and then we'll come back to it." He said, and Savage had no problem with it.
Really?
And just, yeah. And I'll tell you this much. The offense with Savage and DiBiase, there was no cookie-cutter offense about it. Savage had his fucking hooking clotheslines. He had his fucking snapmares over the top. DiBiase with his fucking elbows. Like, everything. These two guys, like, they had their own styles. Nothing looked like it was just your run-of-the-mill two fucking wrestlers going at it. And that's what I think really put it over the top, because they worked so well together, but they both had their own spin on everything. And Savage missing the elbow at the one point, I was like, oh, my God, he missed the elbow. It was crazy.
That's such a great point, Tony, that, like, the cookie-cutter stuff. Like, we miss that in wrestling now.
Yeah.
Dude, left arm that miss it.
Go back and watch it again. You know how many left arm clotheslines there were in this match just because they were like, it was the spot and there they were.
Yeah.
Like, they just fucking threw them. Yeah. And both guys went with it. And Savage always threw the best hooking clothesline. When he would fucking clothesline the guy and go down with him.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. It was a thing of beauty. DiBiase
takes his over the top rope powder to the outside. That bump he always takes is fucking awesome. He's the best at it.
Yeah. Or even when he comes off the top with shit, or like when he does the fucking complete flip and he's almost doing like a fucking handstand when he falls over. And I love the back elbow off the second ropes. I love when he drops the fist and his whole body goes down with it. Just a thing of beauty, man. DiBiase was amazing. Savage was amazing. You couldn't have had a better final. And considering how long WrestleMania 4 was going at this point, It wasn't a 45-minute fucking marathon. It was, boom, get in, tell the story. And fucking DiBiase, like fucking Andre was still getting involved. He grabbed Savage at one point, and Hogan went over there and waffled him, and he points at the ref, and he's like, he was getting involved, dude. I came over here to make sure he didn't get involved. Like, just fucking yelling. And when fucking DiBiase has the million-dollar dream in, Hogan gets in, smack, and he goes back out, and he's hiding on the apron like this, like a fucking young boy. I didn't care. As a kid, I didn't give a fuck. They were cheating the whole time. Hogan got that fucking last lick in, and it was over, man.
Yeah, it was great. I fucking loved it. I loved every second of it. Easy watch.
I still love it. Yeah.
Like, now we know where it goes, right? But you can just, like, see, like, how it's so crazy how it went the way that it went, because it came off so organic.
Yeah.
How the mega powers, you know, ascended and then they exploded. Like, even just like Macho winning and Hogan being the one to run over and be the one that grabs the belt.
Oh my God. He ran to ringside right off of Robin Leach, man.
Oh my God.
It was funny seeing Andre like take like three like quick Andre steps towards the belt. And fucking Hulkster's already got it. And he's in the ring.
This is good shit, man. Good shit.
Damn, it's great.
Two fucking thumbs way up on this one.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I'm with you. Clap, 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 clap.
Who's up for next week?
This guy.
Well, we're on a two-match streak now, aren't we?
Yes, we are. And I am going to try and keep the streak alive. So, it is WrestleMania season. And in the last couple of years, we've seen an influx of people in WrestleMania matches who aren't wrestlers. And that takes me back to WrestleMania 11. Bam Bam Bigelow, Lawrence Taylor. I can't tell you the last time I watched this match.
I could tell you last time I did.
but I want to go, you know, it's again, we talked about it earlier, possibly Jelly Roll in a tag match. We've seen Gronk and Bad Bunny wrestle, and you know, everybody gets involved in WrestleMania, but I want to go back to, like, you know, WWE is on as fuck, WWF is on its heels, arguably one of the worst WrestleManias ever. Because I don't know, the fuck of the business was shit at the point, but you know, LT fucking Bam Bam sold me when I was a fucking kid. I wanted to see it. So
I also think, like, in fairness to Handsome Kevin, this is something that you, that I, that Brundo, like, we grew up, like, we knew who the Giants were. Like, we knew who LT was. Like, he was in our backyard, you know? So for us, I think that also helps capture our imagination, because it's like, he's like a local football player and he's going to be wrestling Bam Bam Bigelow, a Jersey guy. Like, that, like, right there puts it over, at least to us.
Yeah. Oh, you know? Huge. And I know, like, they had like the WrestleMania 2 battle royal with the NFL players. I don't care about that.
Yeah. But I mean, Refrigerator Perry above anybody else being in that thing was a huge deal.
Yeah. No,
everybody knew who the fridge was.
Wasn't John Matusak in that?
No.
Who am I thinking?
Russ Fralick. Yeah, Russ Francis. Bill Fralick was in it.
Bill Fralick.
Yeah. Ed Too Tall Jones was one of the outside referees. I remember that. There was like six guys in it from the NFL. I can't remember who the other guys were.
I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, it's cool. Above me. I don't remember.
And then plus LT had his fucking all-star team, including one Steve Mongo McMichael. Who else from the Giants? Carl Banks was on his fucking team too, wasn't he?
Pepper Johnson.
Did you say, well, Pepper Johnson?
Pepper Johnson.
He wasn't at WrestleMania.
No, no. Wait, but he was on the Giants linebacker.
Yes, wait, he was.
Pepper Johnson?
Yeah.
What year was that? 52. Huh?
He was number 52. He was there with Harry Carson and Carl Banks. Yeah, he was
Yeah.
We had Jimbo Covert.
Cobra, yeah.
Yeah. Ernie Holmes.
Yes.
Harvey Martin.
That's all right. Yeah, those are the other three.
Bill Fralick, William Perry, Russ Francis.
Yeah.
God, did John Matuszak do anything interesting? Why am I thinking he was there? Did he box maybe?
I don't know.
John Matuszak?
I don't even know who fucking John Matuszak is.
Yeah, who the fuck is John Matuszak?
Are you going to tell us who John Matuszak is? Or
he played for... Oh, he was Tooze. No wonder, because he fucking thinks it's Toots. What is John Matuszak known for? He was the first overall pick in the 1973 NFL draft.
What the fuck am I thinking?
He was Sloth in the Goonies?
Was he really?
According to Mike Peterson.
God, maybe I'm getting people fucking...
Wait. All right. John Matuszak archives at Stick to Wrestling with John McAdam has a picture of Jimmy Snuka. Or is that... Yeah, it's Jimmy Snuka. So maybe he did something with Snuka?
Maybe.
Huh. Wait. I'll find it. Hold on.
Maybe it's just something I'm fucking not remembering right.
Da-da-da-da.
John Matuszak.
Football acting.
Oh, plus we share the story of how Dick Slater beat the snot out of then college and future NFL star John Matuszak, who was 6'8" and weighed 280 pounds. This happened when Slater was still in high school. So maybe he did wrestle.
Okay. God, I knew there was some cross there. I could be remembering it wrong completely, but I could have swore there was a connection.
He was Sloth and Goonies too.
He got beat up by Dick Slater. Well, there you go. John Matuszak. Yeah, best known for playing Sloth. Look at that. He was a state champion in shot put. Life and Times of the Twos. Well, there you go.
That was fantastic. We're going back to WrestleMania 11. LT, Bam Bam Bigelow for homework. I think we have a full house next week, right? I think Brundo's back.
I think so. I mean, I'll be here, hopefully. Right, God willing. Here.
Yeah, we got Jasmine St. Clair is supposed to join us. So hopefully that comes to fruition. Yeah.
And with that, let's cue the music.
Cue the music.
This has been a production of the Shining Wizards Network. For everything Shining Wizards, visit ShiningWizards.com. And don't forget to listen to all the great shows of the Shining Wizards Network.
We'd like to thank those that support us on our Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. Executive producer, Manny Kretzo. Producers, Kate Hensler, High Five Tom, Ryan Schlong, Al Day, Kathy Hummer, Michael Hammond, Keith Parker, David Henry Bauer III, Jesse Elwell, Emily Brock, and I, Dunk Biscuits, thank you all for your support.
Good night, Diana.
Oh, because he's sick. He probably can't do it, right? All right. It's late, Tony. I'm not going to hit all the buttons on you tonight.
No, not a couple of buttons.
You want a couple of buttons?
Yeah, just like two or three. Give the people a little something.
Some girl talking.
Yeah, you think Diana's going to vote for Kate?
That one lady that was on one time, she was boring. Oh,
I thought you were going to play. Ooh, oh, no.
I think HK wasn't here last week, was he? No, right?
Nope.
What do we got?
Sometimes it's just a magnificent pile of shit.
Sucking down some stallions.
Do you mean sucking off some stallions?
Stink with a dick.
Jesus. All right, I'm hitting the button. Let's do this.
Fucking whacking with a dick. It's fucking whacking with a dick.
Hey, HK got away with one tonight, huh?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I'm not waiting for her to come in. I'm just, you know, making a point.
Oh, I know. You text me, call it in, and she was there before when the show started. She's going down to my bedroom to work out. So, I mean, the gym. I mean, the basement.
What?
That's where I slept.
Yeah, it's okay.
In my bedroom.
Yeah.
Well, back here if you need me.
Horny, gotta go.